much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Welcome to the Quiet Corn. I'm Elsa Clack. Breakfast is served between 5:30 and 6:15 a.m.
What if we sleep to a normal hour?
Well, that would be very rude of you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome.
I can't get your song out of my mind. I haven't felt this way since Funky Town.
Kevin and Bean, 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 Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean, Kevin and Bean, Kevin and Bean.
And
Anderson?
And now.
Hey, come on. Everybody loves it.
Everybody hates it.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday, the 3rd of March.
Effing Oscars, right?
Why do you say that specifically?
Just because it was 3.5 hours of my life. That's
yeah,
all.
It was.
God damn, that's a long show.
It's a lot of show.
Why? How? Who?
Right? We were having this conversation last night because there were so many categories for short movies.
Uh-huh.
Animated and, you know, live right. action. I don't even know where to see short movies.
Yeah.
I mean, even if I wanted to, I don't know where to find those.
Yeah, that's a question that we ask every year because, you know, it's not... Here's what they ought to do with the short movies is they ought to find a compatible long movie and pair it up with, like they do with some of the animated stuff. They ought to say, hey, if you're going to see, you know, Nonstop this weekend, here's a little 15-minute short movie that's nominated for an Oscar ahead of it. Maybe that's the way they ought to do it. So you can at least see it in a theater if you want to.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But, yeah, well, we'll talk a lot more about the Oscars, but it's just, that's a slog, man. That's a freaking marathon.
That is an uphill climb right there.
That is an uphill climb. That is for damn sure. Anyway, welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Monday. Here's a crazy medical story to get us started with today. Kevin, I'm sure you saw this. It was all over the news over the weekend. A four-month-old in Maryland. His doctors noticed that they suspected something was wrong with him because his head appeared to be growing faster than it should have been for a kid of his age.
Oh,
I'm sure that happened with your parents
yeah,
as well, by the way.
Exactly.
So they did a brain scan, and they revealed that he had a tumor in his head. And by the way, he's doing fine, so don't be sad that you're hearing about kid with a tumor. So they did a brain scan, saw the tumor. He underwent brain surgery, during which doctors found something in the tumor that surprised them.
Ooh.
Several fully formed teeth.
What? In
teeth.
His brain?
In his brain. Now, I don't know anything about babies. Babies don't even have teeth, right? When they're born.
No, they don't.
They got no teeth, right? So,
unless they're in their brain. Maybe this is an exception.
The child had craniopharyngioma, a rare brain tumor that can grow to be larger than a golf ball. It does not spread. Researchers have always suspected that these tumors form from the same cells that are involved in making teeth. But until now, doctors had never seen actual teeth in these tumors. It's calcium deposits, basically. And they pulled out several full-sized teeth out of a kid's head. These tumors are most often diagnosed in children ages 5 to 14. They are very rare in children younger than 2. The boy is progressing well in his development. However, the tumor did destroy some connections in his brain that would allow certain hormones to be released, so he will need to receive hormone treatments for the rest of his life. But otherwise, he's doing extremely well. There was a big tumor right in the center of the brain.
Wow.
Before this modern surgical era, this child would not have survived. So the teeth have been sent out to a pathologist for further study, and they'll save those and continue to research them.
Forward them along to Lady Gaga?
And now,
for her necklace?
Exactly. So now a theory has been proven. What a crazy story that kid's going to have for the rest of his life about how he had teeth growing in his brain.
Oh, tell him the story?
Yeah, I had teeth in my brain.
It's going to be
something?
The entire time.
But I mean, look, every year we advance into the future, there are more and more medical advancements. I mean, people today are the luckiest people in the world to have the medicine and the doctors and the research and the surgery and everything that we have now compared to 10 years ago or 100 years ago. And 100 years from now, it's going to be even better. So this story has a happy ending.
I should check my brain. I should check for teeth.
Something's got to be up there, man.
Be something.
Could be boots, tires, who knows what. Let's talk about taking up all that space that's not brain.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay, well, let's stick a pin in that. What else have you got?
I was awake last night, I don't know, 11:30 midnight, and somebody emailed me on Twitter said, hey, you should be listening to the Sleep Whisperer right now.
Well, that is what we learned last week, is that that's a way that millions of people are falling asleep now.
That seems to be a deal. So we'll tell
you
more.
Did you try
it? Nah, it's ridiculous. I'll tell you more about it just after 6 o'clock. We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We have a brand new internet roundup for you. We have Mr. Skin on the program today, which Bean is way too excited for.
Well, he's world's second greatest human ever.
We have some Oscar highlights, and we have Matt Bellany, also from The Hollywood Reporter, talking about the Academy Awards from last night. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat.
All right, we get it. Your house is falling apart.
Falling apart.
All right, get a nice contractor.
That's the message right there.
Go to Angie's List and get somebody to help you put some siding up. I don't know what your problem is, but we all have problems, you and your house.
Hey, coming up right after Ralph Showbiz Beat, which is now on the Kevin Beat Show on K-Rock, we're going to play a brand new song from a band called Coldplay. It is called Magic. Their new album is coming out on May 19th called Ghost Stories, and the song, again, is Magic, and we'll be playing that next. First, though, here's Ralph.
You can do magic.
I don't think that's it.
You can do anything your heart desires.
You heard it? That's
yeah,
it?
I thought so. Huh. Great. Of course, it was Oscars, Oscars, Oscars.
All last night, it's all everybody's talking about, the Oscars. No big surprises last night as we look at the list of the top award winners. Many of the favorites indeed took home that little golden statue. Lupita Nyong'o won for Best Supporting Actress for her portrayal of a slave under the thumb of a sadistic slave master in 12 Years a Slave. Jared Leto, no surprise there, won for Best Supporting Actor.
He's a hot chick.
For his work in Dallas Buyers Club. And he's a handsome gent, too.
Sure.
Looked like Surfer Jesus out there on the red carpet last night.
Look, I know it wasn't a surprise for him or anyone that he won the Academy Award, because he's won every award leading up to the Oscars. But were you guys surprised at how calm and cool and collected he was? No nerves.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. He's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
One of the best speeches of the night, I thought, was his. Very,
me
very
too.
Well put together and articulate. And even McConaughey came through with a pretty strong speech. I thought he won for Best Actor for the same movie, Dallas Buyers Club. Cate Blanchett won for her performance in Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine. Alfonso Cuarón won for Best Director, rightly so, for Gravity. First Latino director ever to win the award in that category.
All right.
And then for the big one, Best Picture, for the evening, 12 Years a Slave won. And that was the first time a picture directed by a black director had ever won Best Picture. So congratulations
to all
the winners.
Wait, none of the Madea movies ever won an Oscar?
No, it's hard to believe. What? Tyler Perry never pulled home an Oscar. It's shocking.
Wow.
Most of the trophies of the night did go to Gravity. Took home 7 Academy Awards, which is the Academy's way of saying, you did everything right except be the best picture. All those things, the director, the cinematography, the effects, it's the greatest picture this year, but not really, because that one's over there. It did it better somehow, even though you get everything else for all that goodness. The weirdest part of the Oscars,
it is strange.
Endlessly frustrating, is that someone can garner all this praise saying, you are the best at everything, so cumulatively, you are not as good as that, somehow. It's not math.
It's an inexact science, for sure.
To say the least. Host Ellen DeGeneres has been well-received by the press. Her opening monologue, which I thought was the strongest portion of her performance all evening long, was very good. And then she started serving pizza to people and taking selfies.
It may have gone a little long, but
yeah, like,
I liked her monologue as well.
Monologue was real good, yeah. The highlight, of course, of the Oscars for many, including myself, was John Travolta. John Travolta introducing one of the songs that was nominated for Best Original Song from a Motion Picture for the year. Let It Go from the smash hit Frozen.
I was really looking forward to Idina Menzel singing the song since she sang in the movie, but apparently it was not to be. Because as John Travolta introduced her, he said, please welcome the one and only Adela Dazeem. No one really knew who Adela Dazeem was. It turns out he was introducing Idina Menzel, but something, right. Something happened.
Something went terribly wrong.
Something misfired, and he had a stroke.
Did you notice how many people were having trouble with their lines last night?
Yeah.
A lot of flubs, including Ellen, who's usually such a pro.
Yeah, couldn't choke it up. Adela Dazeem. I was like, what did he? I was with my wife, and I kept flipping it back. Adela Dazeem. It was like Kevin. It was like Kevin was introducing the song. I'm not one only Adela Dazeem.
By the way, she was singing Let It Go.
Let
the
name of it, right?
That's right. Yeah. She should have, yeah.
That's right.
Let It Go.
I think it rattled her, quite frankly, because she started singing and she sounded like she was a little bit off. I think she heard him screw up her name. She's like, here I am, probably the biggest audience I'm ever going to sing for. She's a big Broadway star. I mean, she's been a professional singer for a long time. But she must have thought, I'm singing for an entire, the world is watching at this moment. And he goes, so weird. Adela Dazeem. And she went,
is that me? I'm not sure. Yeah. Should I start?
Do you think it's also a little bit weird, Ralph, and I have no idea, that they can't see the orchestra to know when the music starts? Do you think there's anything
it's
to that?
It's got to be frustrating.
I would think it'd be weird for a musician, for a singer.
Yeah, Bean's referring to the fact that the orchestra was at the Capitol Records building last night, and they were performing
whole different building.
From there,
that's they're not weird. Down front like they used to be.
Into the Dolby Theater, I guess it is now, right?
Dolby.
What do you think of Travolta's hair this year?
Wow,
wow, indeed,
that's balls.
Yeah,
that's guts.
Yeah,
they not only wear a flagrant toupee, a flagrant hairpiece, but then to pretend like you need a haircut. I'm going to look a little shaggy, so it looks like I need a trim. Watch.
He has more hair now than he had when he was 25.
Yeah, it's distracting, to say the least. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Miranda Richardson celebrates her 56th birthday today. Former Metallica bassist Jason Newsted is 51. Rapper Tone Loke.
Oh, got to get some Tone Loke today.
We got to get a little funky Cold Medina, don't we?
Sure.
Or Wild Thing, or all of those things, maybe the same song. I don't know. 48 years old. Julie Bowen is 44 from Modern Family, of course. David Faustino. He was Bud Bundy.
He was.
40 years old today. And actress Jessica Biel. She looked pretty good last night. Yeah. She looked a little bit of all right last night.
Yeah, how about a bell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
30. There were a lot of very attractive actresses on the TV last night.
What?
Yeah.
Are there attractive actresses in Hollywood in movies?
It turns out, yes. I just noticed that last night for the first time.
I'm going to source you on this, do a little research, but I don't think there's attractive
crazy.
Women in Hollywood. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Guess what we're giving away, you guys?
A puppy?
Almost as good as a puppy. 3-day passes for Coachella.
Horse?
No, 3-day passes for Coachella, you guys.
Oh, all right, good.
At 9 o'clock this morning and every day this week, just after 9 o'clock this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can get the details at krock.com. So, Kevin, you mentioned earlier that you were up late again last night, not just because of the Academy Awards. Even when they ended, you still couldn't go to sleep.
Yep.
And you tried all the usual stuff that you try.
Yep.
But it's you didn't try the sleep whisperer.
No, because it seems
nonsense. Well, you just learned about the sleep whisperer last week, and I thought you were going to try the sleep whisperer.
And some people on Twitter were saying, hey, why don't you listen to the sleep whisperer?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I just distrust that kind of stuff. It just seems stupid.
It does. That's what I said when I brought in the tape. I said, I know this seems dumb, but millions of people are using it. Let me tell folks who weren't listening last week when we talked about Ilsa Blansert. She is a lady in Toronto. She's 25 years old. By the way, she's hot enough to be making YouTube videos, I'll tell you that. She is an autonomous sensory meridian response artist.
Sure.
She records and posts videos of herself whispering, basically. She is the sleep whisperer. She sounds like this.
What I wanted to say is...
So you're listening to this, and I imagine your initial impulse is to lean in so that you can hear what she says, because obviously she's whispering. But then once you get tired of that, then you just kind of let it go, and it becomes sort of a soothing sound that makes you go to sleep. And she does all sorts of things, like, you know, she'll talk about things at her house sometimes, or she'll count backwards from 100. I mean, all the videos are different depending on what you're in the mood for.
She strip?
She doesn't really do anything to try to keep you awake. I think it's really kind of the opposite of that.
But then, If I'm listening to this, I'm like, speak up. I can't understand a word you're saying.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this technology. Like I said, millions of people are using this YouTube videos, but it is still kind of new. So we asked producer Dave to line somebody up for us. And I believe we have Dr. Reuben Carlton on the phone. He is with the Institute of Slumber Technology. Dr. Carlton, thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
We're not trying to sleep right now.
I'm not trying to put you to sleep right now.
Okay, oh, you're just a soft-spoken guy.
Yeah, that's just the way I talk.
So this ASMR, yes, this is...
ASMR, as we call it.
ASMR, okay. There's science backing this up, doctor?
Oh, yes. By forcing the brain to try to focus in on soft sounds, soothing noises, repetitive noises, certain rhythms.
Right.
It's proven that your brain can realign its meridian responses and reset itself in the ability to get back to sleep, yes.
Hmm. And what kinds of things do you do videos too, or you just study the other sleep? Oh, you do your own videos.
I do videos. I do audio tapes. A lot of people say, as you mentioned earlier, I have a very soft, soothing voice, so I've been able to use that in the technology to help people sleep for some time now.
Wow, I didn't realize this had been going on for that long.
Oh, yeah, the practice has been going on for about a decade now, and the current scientific research show that it certainly is catching on with the medical community, that if you have trouble sleeping, as many Americans do, it's not addictive, it's non-chemical, it's not a sleeping pill, and yet many, many people find it very, very effective.
Yeah, you can't beat it. It's free with no side effects and no doctor's visit. Now, what about my man Kevin here, who has tried everything up to but not yet including sleep whispering?
Sure, I'm sure we could help him. It's easy to do. I could put Kevin to sleep right now if you'd like.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right, Kevin, I just need you to listen to my voice.
Okay.
Kevin.
Yes?
Shh. You're feeling very sleepy, I'm sure, so you probably want to just relax. You want to close your eyes. Put your head down there by the console where you're working.
All right.
At your radio station. Take out your wallet and get your ATM card and send me the pin. I want you to send me the pin to the ATM card that you have. And I want you to...
Did you say...
I'm sorry, what's that?
Sorry to break off, yeah. But did you say send me my ATM card with the pin number?
No, that'd be crazy. No, just put your head down.
Okay.
Kevin, you're very sleepy.
All right.
I'm sure your eyes are getting tired. Your mind is drifting. Send me some naked pictures of your wife.
What?
Doctor, I got to jump in here, doctor. You just asked Kevin for naked photos of his wife.
No, I didn't. I said the Lake Como is so still you could cut it with a knife.
No, I don't believe that's what I heard.
We're going to have to agree to disagree,
well,
I guess.
Sometimes when I whisper, it's hard for people to understand what I'm saying. So
all right. Okay.
I'd appreciate it if you just didn't interrupt the process.
Oh, sorry.
Okay?
All right.
Kevin, close your eyes.
Okay.
Put your head back.
Yes.
Now I want you take your pants off. Take your pants off and put them on your head.
What?
Run around the studio. Set your junk on fire.
What? Set your junk on fire.
Why would I say something?
How am I supposed to know?
I said you have to make your trunk lighter.
That doesn't make any sense.
Are you even a real doctor?
Make my trunk lighter.
Because it's heavy. You have to put down all the burdens you're carrying.
Right.
Put down the burdens.
Okay, I see.
Close your eyes.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
you're ruining this.
Well, it just seems like you're saying weird stuff.
Okay, shh. Right. Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin, I want you to send me your car keys. I need a car. I want you to give me your car. I want you to fill it up with Hot Pockets. I'm really hungry. Put some pizza Hot Pockets in the trunk of your car. Just drive it to my house and leave it in front of my house.
See, now again, you're asking me for my car.
That's ridiculous. I would never do that. I would say...
You said fill it with Hot Pockets.
No, I said... You need spot sprockets.
What?
You need to spot the sprockets of the wheels of your mind and leave them afar. Leave those wheels afar with sprockets.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm not very good.
So, Noodles from that band, The Offspring, last night he and I made the same joke about something that happened on the Oscars.
Right.
And I bet that everybody thought he was brilliant for making it. Everybody tweeted me, thanks for that tweet, Bean. That's what happened last night. It was when Anna Kendrick came out with Gabourey Sidibe.
Right.
And I said they were standing on stage together. They looked like the number 10.
Right.
And he had the same observation that I did. But it was just, it was pretty funny.
It must hurt me and you.
It does hurt me and me. But I did feel like it was in good company, at least with the gag. But speaking of the Oscars, let's find out what our man Harvey Levin from TMZ.com thought about the show last night. Hey, Harvey. Welcome, my friend.
Good morning, guys.
What'd you think?
You know, there were some decent speeches, but it was real boring at parts.
Yeah.
Ellen was good.
I thought so, too.
And my favorite thing was the pizza guy.
Yeah, pizza guy.
Well, I want to let's talk about the pizza guy for starters, because I know TMZ was looking for that guy as soon as he left the Dolby, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like really, you know, American hustle pizza. So here's the deal. This guy, we got him out as he was going back to the shop.
But wait, let me just butt in and say, for people who didn't see this part of the show, Alan ordered pizza. The guy delivered it, you know, inside the theater. He was real? He was not just a setup?
Yeah, I mean, he was real to a point. I mean, I heard that he somehow came in an SUV, which is normally not the mode of transportation for pizza guys.
Right.
But it sounds like they just kind of ordered it, and he did kind of seem like he was in the dark.
He did.
So he, you know, he gave out the pizza, and they, he went back to the shop, and we got him on the way back in, and nobody, he had no idea that Ellen had collected $300, most of which would have been a tip for him.
Right.
So he was like standing there with us, trying to figure out, do I say something to TMZ? Do I not say something to TMZ?
Right.
Sadly, he clammed up.
Oh, that's too bad. So we don't know if he got the tip or not.
Well, I would be shocked if that tip eventually. Here's the thing about it. This spot, a 30-second spot in the Oscars, goes for about $1.5 million.
Right.
Okay? We added it up.
Okay.
3 minutes on that pizza on Mama's and Papa's Pizza in Hollywood. 3 minutes. I mean, the people at this shop should give this guy, like, the $300, right?
Yeah, absolutely,
they got,
yeah.
Like, $5 million of publicity out of it.
How about that? I wondered if that was going to be a real guy and they actually did call out for pizza, or if it was the whole thing was just going to be a setup and he was an actor backstage.
No. He's a real pizza guy. We got him going back into the shop.
How about that? And he was told, as I understand, he was told that he was delivering to the writers backstage, and he was as surprised as we were to see him come through the curtains onto the stage.
Yeah, no. He was actually cooler than you would think, because, you know, he's walking by, oh, there's Bradley Cooper, oh,
yeah.
There's Meryl Streep.
Yeah, that must have just been surreal.
By the way, the line of the night, did you guys see it?
Yeah.
Oh, what Ellen said about Liza Minnelli.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I was asking myself, why is Liza Minnelli there? I didn't understand.
I was too. No, I mean, it didn't make, it wasn't apparent. And did you see the one part where she hugged the person who was going up to win an Oscar? And
yes.
Like, why is Liza Minnelli doing
it? It was somebody else completely unrelated on a different movie.
Totally
for some,
unrelated.
What now, the hell's going on?
Liza was there because, I'll just tell our audience who missed it, because last night they celebrated The Wizard of Oz, the 75th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz, and Pink performed, and I thought she was great. And, you know, we weren't looking forward to that segment, but I thought it was very well done, the way they
But we should tell people that Ellen says that she's kind of like acknowledging.
I've got the clip. So,
oh, it's so funny.
So, yeah, so the reason Liza Minnelli is there is her mother, the late Judy Garland, was the star. She was the little girl in The Wizard of Oz. So when Ellen spots her in the crowd last night, here's what she says.
And I have to say, one of the most amazing Liza Minnelli impersonators I have ever seen in my entire life. Just really, seriously.
There's the real Liza.
Good job, sir. I mean, that is really...
I mean, look, nobody hires Ellen because she's snarky or biting. I mean, that's Gervais-like, that line.
That's totally Gervais-like. I was shocked.
That was sweet.
I was very surprised by that. It was, I mean, tonally, it was so different from everything else that was in her opening monologue. That's why it was such a surprise. But Liza seemed to enjoy it. The audience seemed to enjoy it, so no harm, no foul.
Liza doesn't have any idea what's going on.
You're right.
Come on.
What did you think about, Harvey, and we're going to play more highlights from the Academy Awards coming up in a minute. What did you think about the selfie that broke the internet last night? Twitter was down for 20 minutes after Ellen tweeted out that shot.
I was actually real interested in that. I was just because, you know, somebody who's, you know, who does stuff in social media.
Right.
I wanted to see how people would gravitate to that. And they sure did. It was really interesting. It's an interesting lesson of how you can drive people from television to social media if you do it right.
Yeah, if you have 10 of the world's biggest movie stars with you in the photo, it helps.
Okay, that's a fair comeback.
I mean, Julia Roberts is in it, Meryl Streep, Bradley Cooper, Brad Pitt, Jared Leto. I mean, it's an insane photo. And Ellen said at the time, she said, we're going to try to break the record for the most retweeted photo, which I guess was the president and his wife after the re-election. And they eclipsed that in 35 minutes, I think. And then it was on to 1 million, and now it's over 2 million, that photo, Harvey.
Can I take back my stupid point?
Sure.
Okay, I take it back.
Sure.
And one more thing, since we're talking Oscars, I didn't see it at the time, but you have it on the site that Jennifer Lawrence fell down again. Does this woman just not know how to buy shoes?
That was awesome.
Well, actually, Ellen was really funny on that one when she said, because Ellen, I guess they told her she fell on the way in.
Like getting out of the car or whatever, just
getting out of the
arriving,
car. She fell in a cone. And so, she did it last year where she fell on the stage. And I thought Ellen was hilarious when she said, look, we can bring the Oscar to you this year.
That was funny.
Jennifer Lawrence is just adorable, though. Even when she's falling down, you just love her, don't you?
She's so pretty. And who else was just amazing looking, I thought? Kate Hudson.
Yes, I thought so too. I thought she really looked good.
Like amazing. Amazing.
I didn't recognize Goldie Hawn, though.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Not as good.
Goldie Hawn and Kim Novak both look like they've had quite a bit of work done, Harvey.
But, I got to say, I mean, you guys, I don't know if you guys remember her in the day, Goldie Hawn. She was so cute.
She was. She was adorable, yeah. But, I mean, look, she, like everybody, she got
older. She doesn't look 20 anymore. She doesn't look 20
anymore. No, she doesn't. She looks 120.
Right. Last question with the great Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, and I'm serious about this. Is it possible all these years of speculation that John Travolta is gay has been proven last night to not be true because he could not pronounce Idina Menzel's name? Clearly, no gay guy doesn't know and worship at the feet of Idina Menzel, right?
That's the funniest thing I've
heard. I'm just saying, Harvey. Maybe go with that.
I like how Harvey doesn't comment.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
I love it.
Look for TMZ on your TV on Fox Channel 11 at 6 o'clock. TMZ Live airs at 4. TMZ Sports airs weekends at midnight on Fox. All the Academy Awards and so much other great stuff going on TMZ.com. Harvey, have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
You too, guys.
Mr. Skin on the program today, also from the Hollywood Reporter, Matt Bellany will be joining us next hour. We're all talking about the Academy Awards. They were on last night. We made a few references already to Ellen DeGeneres, her work from the stage in the opening monologue. And then she spent pretty much the rest of the night out in the audience, which I thought was kind of interesting. Wasn't
it was strange, yeah.
It was weird. I mean, I know she's a professional comedian, but I don't want to say she seemed under-rehearsed. She seemed super loose. Like, she didn't have her eye on the clock at all when she was wandering the halls, just basically talking to whoever was sitting on the aisle, right?
Yeah, I think some of the stuff went long, but, I think that's an impossible job, and she did it really well.
It is. One of her great lines from the opening monologue, I thought, that kind of surprised people. It was very funny.
Well, we should get started. It's going to be an exciting night. Anything can happen. So many different possibilities. Possibility number one, 12 Years a Slave wins Best Picture. Possibility number two, you're all racists. And now, please welcome our first white presenter, Anne Hathaway.
Again, a little bit edgy for Ellen, but I thought it was very funny. Of course, you tune into the Academy Awards because you want to see celebrity after celebrity after celebrity and presenters and award winners getting up on stage. And, that's a tough spot to be in when you win an Oscar. Usually, the spotlight is on you and the timer's going and you get played off if you go long. They didn't play anybody off last night.
No, they didn't, did they?
They just let people talk as long as they wanted. I mean, I think Matthew McConaughey's speech was over 3 minutes. Cate Blanchett's was more than that even. One of the best speeches of the night was our friend Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars. Great to see a K-Rock guy up there accepting an Academy Award. And I'm sure he made all the ladies in America swoon when he started talking about his mom.
In 1971, Bossier City, Louisiana, there was a teenage girl who was pregnant with her second child. She was a high school dropout and a single mom, but somehow she managed to make a better life for herself and her children. She encouraged her kids to be creative, to work hard, and to do something special. That girl is my mother, and she's here tonight.
And she was. She was there as Jared's date last night. Very, very sweet moment. Great speech.
Do you think she was sitting there in her chair thinking, hey, you don't have to tell everybody that I was a high school dropout? Come on.
I think she's doing fine.
All right.
Now, the exact opposite of the articulate Jared Leto was a little man named Harrison Ford who ambled out to the stage. What's going on with Harrison Ford? Why do they keep trotting him out? The guy can't read. He can't talk. Listen to the level of enthusiasm he manages to find deep within himself as he's setting up the clips from Dallas Buyers Club.
In Dallas Buyers Club, an electrician blindsided by an AIDS diagnosis transforms himself into an alternative drug smuggler and entrepreneur.
Doesn't he sound like this is the first time he's ever seen the copy?
Yeah, and if you didn't know who he was, you would think, that guy's crazy.
Or homeless.
Or homeless, or drunk.
In a no-holds-barred fight to survive. Emotionally searing and finally uplifting. It's a poignant, transcendent journey.
It sure sounds like
he's a robot. He's a total robot. It was emotionally moving.
Look, I know you bring him out there for the wattage, you know, for the star power.
Sure.
But a little effort. I mean, there is a rehearsal, right?
He's the black hole of energy in that room.
Let's talk about the musical performances. The highlight easily was Pharrell and his hat, right? Coming out and doing Happy.
Sure. Yeah.
I was so hopeful at the beginning of that show, you know, when you have all this energy and excitement for the Oscars, when the show begins, that first half hour was a lot of fun. And then, of course, you know, there's three more hours still to go. But I thought that was the highlight that was never beat musically. Him out there dancing with Meryl Streep while he sang his Oscar-nominated song Happy from Despicable Me. I just thought that was great. I thought all the performances pretty much were great. I thought Karen O doing the song from Her with Ezra from Vampire Weekend was really good. The Idina Menzel song I thought was really good. The only one that didn't work for me was Bette Midler. And I didn't get, she didn't sound that great. And they did the whole In Memoriam and then they had her come out and sing the song rather right. than do like they did last year where they had Barbara Streisand singing the song while they were doing the In Memoriam.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. Why they played other music during the In Memoriam and then brought her out.
Yeah, didn't make any sense.
That was weird.
There was one completely unscheduled musical performance last night that was a super fun moment. The best documentary was this film called 20 Feet to Stardom. Did you see it, Kevin? Or 20 Feet from Stardom?
The documentary? No.
Yeah, super good. And it's all about backup singers. It's all about these people who are on the stage who are 20 feet from the lead singer who and what their careers are like and what their life is like. And Darlene Love was one of the people who was on stage last night.
Oh, she's the woman that started singing?
She's a legendary singer from the 60s. And she just belted it out. And I didn't even know she was supposed to talk, but there she was.
Lord God, I praise you, and I am so happy to be here representing the ladies of 20 Feet from Stardom. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free.
By the way, she's got to be close to 70, this Darlene Love, and
yeah,
sounds
I think
like
so
that.
Too, yeah.
She was a huge star in the 1960s, and then things went bad for her. And a few years ago, she literally, Kevin, was cleaning houses. That's what she was doing.
You're kidding.
She was cleaning houses, and then she fought her way back into the music industry and is working again now and is doing great. And it's a great documentary. If you haven't seen 20 Feet from Stardom, you owe it to yourself to check it out. If you're a music fan, you'll really, really like it. A lot of people interviewed in it, Bruce Springsteen and Mick Jagger and people like that, talking about the backup singers they've worked with. It's pretty cool. A couple more highlights from last night's Academy Awards. This was another surprise. This was something off the script. Bill Murray is up on stage and they're getting ready to present an award for cinematography or something. And at the end, after the five nominees are read, Bill slips this into the show.
Oh, we forgot one. Harold Ramis for Caddyshack, Ghostbusters, and Groundhog Day.
That was a nice moment, wasn't it?
Was, it was, yeah. And I thought, who is this homeless guy talking about? He looked terrible, didn't he? I like Bill Murray.
He's getting older.
Yeah.
He's getting older.
But there's no attempt. There are a lot of people getting older. Some of them are trying. That's all.
Let me play one more clip for now, and we've got more for later on today. This I thought was interesting. This is Robert Lopez, a name you don't know, but at 39 years old, he is the latest member of the EGOT Club. Robert Lopez won last night for writing that Let It Go song and won the best original song. He won an Academy Award for that song last night, and here's how they introduced him when he came up to the stage.
This is the first Oscar for Christian Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez. Robert Lopez has now become one of the very few people to ever have won an Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony, which is referred to as the EGOT.
Now, in case you're wondering, by the way, he won a Tony for writing the music for Avenue Q.
Okay.
He won a Grammy for the Book of Mormon cast album.
Okay.
He also co-created the music for that. He won two Emmys for a show on TV on Nickelodeon called The Wonder Pets. So he's won all four of those. He's won the EGOT, which is a real thing, by the way.
Why do they call it EGOT?
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Okay. All right. Makes sense.
He at 39 years old, he's won them. I didn't know this until last night, but if this is true, this is one of the craziest showbiz things I've ever heard, is that Philip Michael Thomas, who was Tubbs on Miami Vice, is the guy who made up the EGOT.
What are you talking about?
He's the guy who created the word, the saying, the expression, the EGOT. He used to tell people that he was going to win all four of those. He was going to win an EGOT. Now, that's on his Wikipedia page. I'd love to know if anybody can source that and tell me if that's true or
I'm
not.
I'm as close to winning an EGOT as he is.
Because if that's true, then I need some verification that Philip Michael Thomas from Miami Vice is the one who came up with the EGOT. But congratulations to Robert Lopez at 39. He's won all four of those in the last 10 years, by the way.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That is a dude who's got it going on. Anyway, yeah. Much more to come here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Lots more highlights, and we'll talk more about the Academy Awards with our friend from The Hollywood Reporter next hour. Rob's got the Showbiz Beat, too. That's coming up next here on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin DeBeach Show at 6:55.
Brand new music from Coldplay. The song is called Magic. Just premiered it for you last hour on the Kevin DeBeach Show. We'll play it for you again next, right after Ralph takes a look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have some movie tickets to give away. How about this movie that just looks so funny? Bad Words.
Yeah!
Does look funny.
Bad Words starring Jason Bateman and Catherine Hahn, Allison Jenny. It's all coming to you on March the 15th is when Bad Words is in theaters. But you, my friends, you will get to see it at the very special K-Rock Advance screening on March 12th at the Arclight Hollywood, one of my favorite places to see a movie on the planet. Of course, Kevin, remember he was Kevining there back then, the old good old days.
That's right.
Where Kevin used to Kevin.
Oh, those were the good old days.
Good old days.
Yep.
Jason Bateman plays a loser who sets out to exact revenge on the world by finding a loophole and win a spelling bee as an adult. Looks very funny. Jace Baben looks very funny in this film. If you want to check it out, give me a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that phone number. We'll get a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advance screening of Bad Words. Like fudge.
Right.
Since we're talking about movies, of course, last night was the big Oscar night. Oscar, 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 Oscar. Bean gave you all the highlights just moments ago. Here are the winners for last night. Alfonso Cuarón won for Best Director for his work with Gravity. Matthew McConaughey and Jared Leto won for Best Actor and Supporting Actor, respectively, for their work in Dallas Buyers Club. Cate Blanchett won for Best Actress for her work in Woody Allen's film Blue Jasmine.
Lupita, hey, Ralph Kramer?
Yeah.
The suck it to Julia Roberts. Just an inside joke between those two, or is that some backstory that I don't know about?
Hashtag sucker. They were tweeting back and forth, making faux sort of...
pretending like they had a rivalry?
Each other. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
Lupita Nyong'o won for Best Supporting Actress.
I'm going to hashtag everything suck it from now on.
You should.
I like it.
And 12 Years a Slave won for Best Picture. But the highlight of the evening by far was John Travolta announcing the performance of Let It Go from the animated smash hit film Frozen. It was sung by the same super talented young lady who sang it in the movie, Idina Menzel. Idina Menzel, by the way, is a Broadway legend. She was one of the stars of Wicked.
I didn't know anything about her.
She was on Glee. She played Lea Michele's mom on Glee, you may remember. She is sort of a legendary musical theater performer. And John Travolta should have known her name. Should have at least read the cue card.
Right.
We could have done that much. But instead of introducing Idina Menzel, this is who he introduced.
Thank you. I love you. There will always be a special place in my heart for the movie musical and for the songs that create their most memorable moments. Here to perform the Oscar-nominated, gorgeously empowering song, Let It Go, from the Oscar-winning animated movie Frozen, please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Yeah. Good old Adele Dazeem.
The wickedly talented one and only. The one and only
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
Yeah. Well done, John.
Welcome to my life, sucker.
Idina Menzel. It came out?
Well, not exactly that way.
Adele Dazeem.
Yeah. Adele Dazeem.
He clearly looked like he was having a stroke at that moment.
He was Kevining. That's what he was doing.
He was.
That was not close.
It was not even close. Meanwhile, everyone's talking Oscars. What about Razzies?
Oh, the Razzies were this weekend.
34th Annual Razzie Awards were given out on Saturday. The worst in Hollywood achievements. There are 800 members who vote online for the Golden Raspberry Award. And this year, congratulations to Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler, as Grown Ups 2, led all films with 8 nominations. Here are the winners. Worst picture, however, movie 43. That was that movie with all those different stars in it doing all those weird things.
It was like filmed over 6 years or something like that, and none of the scenes like made any sense and didn't go together. Yeah. It was just a mess, right?
Movie 43 also won a Worst Director Razzie for the 13 directors who worked on that film, and the Worst Screenplay Award for the 29 screenwriters who had a hand in it. It was just little sketches that different people participated in, and then he stitched it all together. Congratulations to Tyler Perry, who picked up his Razzie for A Medea Christmas. Worst Actress was that award that Tyler Perry got for A Medea Christmas. Kim Kardashian won for Worst Supporting Actress for her work in Tyler Perry's Temptation. And Jaden Smith won for Worst Lead Actor. His dad, Will Smith, picked up Worst Supporting Actor, so they kept it in the family this year for their work in After
Earth. Did they show up?
So congratulations. No.
Yeah.
No. Congratulations to all the winners of the Razzies this year. Today's celebrity birthdays. Miranda Richardson's 56 years old today. Jason Newsted from Metallica is 51. Julie Bowen, she's 44 years old. David Faustino, Bud Bundy from that show. Married with Children, 40 years old. Jessica Biel, she's 32. And Tone Loke.
Took it to the hotel. She said, you're the king. I said, be my queen, if you know what I mean. And let's do the wild thing. Wild thing.
It's like I do the wild thing.
Didn't he get caught on the beach having sex? I think he did. I think Tone Loke got caught on a beach.
Vaguely familiar. I don't
having
remember.
Sex with someone. You guys and your memories. Man, it must be just embarrassing.
Maybe he's trying to win the EGOT.
It could be.
What is the call of that? You mean the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony? Foursome? Why would they call it the EGOT? I have no idea. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is called Magic, and it's a brand new song from Coldplay. I sort of like that. It doesn't wake you up. It does not wake you up.
We are the station that everyone at work can agree on. I'll tell you that.
That's true.
Hey, I get a lot of reaction. We were asking about whether Philip Michael Thomas from Miami Vice is the one who invented the expression EGOT, meaning the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony, that was won last night on the Academy Awards.
Right.
And apparently it is true. Apparently he said it in Rolling Stone magazine back when Miami Vice was on the air. He said he was going to win all four of those.
Yeah, I was going to say, naming it is not so interesting. Him saying he's going to win all four, that's awesome.
Right. That songwriter who won last night and joined the EGOT Club, I think there's fewer than 20 people who have ever done it. Another one of them was on the stage last night. The Whoopi Goldberg has won all four.
Oh, my God.
She's one who has.
She knows how to dress, huh?
Hey, we are going to talk. She does not get dressed up, does
no.
she? We're going to talk more about the Oscars from last night with Hollywood Reporter's Matt Bellany. That's coming up later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Mr. Skin next hour. Right now, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Producer Dave, the King of Mexico, has joined us in studio. Nice batch today here, King.
Yeah, that was good.
We start off with one that is kind of Oscar-related. This is kids reenacting movies nominated for the Academy Awards this year. Everything's better when little kids are saying it, like if they're acting out Captain Phillips.
I'm a pirate.
My name is Captain Phillips, and this is my boat.
Give me your boat.
No.
Give me your boat.
No.
Give me this boat.
No. This is my boat forever.
Give me your boat. No.
I like that they didn't make a nod to the movie.
I would go see that.
I like the one where they do 12 Years a Slave.
and it's just like, hi, I'm home. Okay. That's it.
Well, maybe some of that's not appropriate for the kids.
This is the best scene.
Don't be the little kid playing Matthew McConaughey with AIDS either. You don't want to be that little kid either. A couple of great musical videos for you in this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. The first one is Pompaloos, very popular, millions of views. They're very talented. It's a duo from California. They sing songs on the internet, but they have a couple of rules. They don't do any lip syncing. They don't do any overdubbing, and everything is done in one take. And it's a very elaborate video to watch. And they also picked something kind of neat. It's a Pharrell mashup. It's Happy together with Daft Punk's Get Lucky that he also sang on, and it works real well. A little Lose Yourself to Dance from Daft Punk in there also. So it's kind of three songs in one. It's a cool mashup. Here's a mashup that I didn't see coming. This is someone took Avicii's Wake Me Up with Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give Me Up. And they go pretty well together too.
I just want to tell you how I'm feeling. Gotta make you understand. I just want to tell you how I'm feeling. Gotta make you understand. Never gonna give you up.
The internet just will never let Rick Astley go, will they?
No. And I think I would be all right with it.
Bumper doesn't sound good.
You do, yeah.
That's right. This is very funny from Funny or Die. They're finally just saying what we all assume is being said in boardrooms across America if you work for Comcast. Because Comcast, the cable company, just doesn't give an F.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Brackle from Comcast. We've read your comments and complaints, and we know that a lot of you are very nervous about our merger with Time Warner Cable. So I wanted to talk to you today and let you know that no matter what happens, we don't give a f*** about you. Whether you're calling in for a service appointment for your cable box or wondering why your favorite channel disappeared, we don't give a f***.
Amen, right? So good.
Well done.
A lot of people love the Harry Potter movies, and maybe you miss them, and maybe you wish there was something new that's Harry Potter related that you can watch on the internet. Well, the Kevin Amina Internet Roundup is here for you. Somebody has taken all of the movies, I guess, and edited the words that they need to have the cast of Harry Potter singing a Taylor Swift song.
Green, you're never ever.
Never.
Get him back.
Ever.
You don't.
Talk to you.
Friends.
From my friend.
Talk to me. Green.
Together.
Yeah, that, you know how sometimes you go, wow, that, I don't know why somebody spent so much time on that, but it was awesome. Not so much.
This was a little rough.
That one sort of sucked. And you can tell it took a long time.
How long would it take you if I locked you in a room, Kevin, with all the Harry Potter movies and a song to put one of those together?
I think I would pass out. I don't know.
Yeah, you just die trying.
Bohemian Rhapsody,
forever.
Kevin. Go.
Yeah. Bohemian Rhapsody. Love it. This is a great video. Unfortunately, it's shot vertically on his phone, so it's very difficult to watch. But it's funny to listen to because this is a dad. Now, Dave, did you get the impression that he showed up to pick his kid up from school? Is that what's happening?
Yes, he does, because I don't know what clip you have, but his kid joins in the fun.
Yeah. His kid eventually gets in the car. Yeah. So dad is sitting there watching all these kids come out of the school, and it's super snowy and icy out, and all the kids are falling down as they get on the sidewalk. And the dad is doing play-by-play commentary, and he is having the time of his life.
Okay, everybody's been slipping on ice. Let's see what these ladies do. Oh, there goes one. Oh! Ouch. Oh, it's funny.
It's crazy how many people fall down on that sidewalk in front of him.
Yeah, I love when his kid comes in and goes, Dad, this is so mean. And then continues. Like, they just keep going, and she starts commenting. It's awesome. It's Kevin. It's Kevin if you live in Colorado.
How dare you. And then finally, you know, we've done the honest movie trailers for a long time here on the Internet Roundup. Well, this is from the same people, right, Dave?
No, this is from Ryan Higa. Oh, so this another is, internet celebrity.
This is a little bit of a parody then of the Honest movie trailers. This is the Honest University commercial. Now, you know how you see those ads, especially if you're at home watching daytime TV from like DeVry University or University of Phoenix, and they always talk about how you're going to go to college and it's going to change your life. You're going to get the best job
you're
ever.
You're going to be a brain specialist and whatnot.
Well, according to the Honest University commercial, not so much.
Do you really want your life looking like this? Cleaning up after others, flipping burgers for a living, unclogging toilets, living in this black and white world?
Well, luckily, there's a way you can change all that.
With DeVry University, you'll learn the necessary skills and knowledge to be the best, most educated, overqualified, mess-cleaning, burger-flipping, toilet-unclogging scholar with a degree.
That sounds about right. You can see all these videos and so much more. Just go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Oh, sure, it's fine to watch the Academy Awards at home on TV, but the bigwigs are in the room at the Dolby Theater, or is it the Kodak Theater? What's it called, Matt Bellany, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter?
It's the Dolby now.
The Dolby. Okay. Welcome, sir. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks a lot.
We're amazed to see you in the 7 o'clock hour the day after the Academy Awards, because don't you guys all go out and party after the show?
We go to the Governor's Ball, but honestly, after that, it's been we've been covering this for 4 or 5 months. I was just ready to go home.
You were done with the Oscars because Absolutely. It's been going on for so long? Yeah. What's the Governor's Ball is the main after party?
That's the official Academy after party. People usually make a stop there, stay for a little while, have some food, and then they go on to Vanity Fair or Madonna's party or one of the others.
I got you.
How's the Wolfgang Puck food at the Governor's Ball?
I will say, honestly, the seafood bar there is the highlight of the night. I mean, it's amazing.
Really?
It's a huge spread. And for someone who cooks for 1,500 people, it's actually pretty good.
When Ellen did the pizza bit, I wondered if she was tapping into something that's true of people who have had a long day out on the red carpet and now they're sitting in a room for 3.5 hours watching an award show. I bet a lot of those people in that crowd really are hungry.
Oh, absolutely. Your publicist tells you not to eat for the 2 hours before the show. Then you do the red carpet. Then you're sitting there for 2 hours. It's a good, five.
Why did they tell you not to eat for 2 hours before the show?
For the pictures. You're getting photographed by thousands of international media outlets. You want to look your best.
And that 4 ounces that you eat on the way is going to make your dress bulge?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, it's like an Olympic athlete. You do everything you can.
What don't we see, those of us watching at home, that you got to see being inside? Like, do they come out during the commercials and do or say anything?
There's a lot of the, voice of God, the person instructing everyone there saying, everyone, please applaud. The interesting thing is they told everyone to not applaud during the in memoriam segment.
Right.
Because they didn't want anyone to appear to be more important in death.
That is weird.
It is a little weird.
It is terrible when they do that. They should just cut the audio to the room is what they should do and just have the music on the TV.
Yeah, you would think so. But they did that. There's a lot of milling about. There's a lot of people, going out to the bar, to the restroom. About halfway through the show, a lot of people just sit in the bar.
Is that right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, Bono is there, Kate Blanchett. There's just people, and they have to be told, oh, your category is coming up next.
Really? No kidding.
Now, when we're watching the Golden Globes on TV, Matt, you can see everybody jumps up and runs over to the table of the people that they know that they're friends with or people that they want to meet. It's a little harder in an actual auditorium like at the Oscars, but is there still a lot of that, people getting up and going to see other people?
There is a little bit. You see, Meryl Streep was very interested in Pharrell, for instance, for some reason. And Anne Hathaway was making the rounds saying hello to everyone. You don't see as much of it as at the Globes, which is a dinner. It's, more formal.
Sitting
affair.
Around a table.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How were your seats?
I was one level up, the kind of first mezzanine, so I kind of got to look down on what was going on, but I wasn't in the rafters. One year I was in the upper level,
right.
And literally if you look straight ahead, you're staring at the roof.
So you were close enough to have a great seat, a great view of the stage, but not so close that you had to worry about Liza Minnelli grabbing onto you and not letting go.
That was awkward, wasn't it?
She's weird.
She did two weird things in the audience last night. One is she grabbed on to Lupita Nyong'o, who ended up winning an Oscar later in the night.
She was hugging her like she went through the journey with her.
Like they were best friends, right? She just grabbed her and hugged her and wouldn't let her go. And the other thing is everybody by now has seen the famous selfie that Ellen took with all those Oscar winners in the audience. Well, Liza Minnelli, if you see the view from the back, Liza Minnelli is trying to get in the photo, but isn't tall enough?
I was just going to say that it was so amazing because people were looking down on that and you're like, who is that woman in the dress? And they're, oh, that's Liza Minnelli. She's trying to get in a selfie.
She was trying to be tall enough so that she could be seen in the back, but she's behind all those people that you see in the selfie. How did Ellen DeGeneres play in-house, Matt?
You know, I talked to a bunch of people who were there, and people said, you know, it was fine. It felt very safe. It felt like it was just an episode of her show. She was really relaxed. They liked some of the bits, the selfie thing and the pizza thing. But there wasn't that sense of stepping it up for the Oscars. You know what I mean? There wasn't that
sense. Like she was a little too relaxed?
A little bit too relaxed.
I thought she was really pretty good, comparatively.
Yeah, it probably played really well at home, but I'm just saying, in the auditorium there, it felt a little bit like it was just, you know, an episode of her show. Like
right,
She didn't bring it for the Oscars. And there was also a little bit less of the surprise element. Last year with Seth MacFarlane, people were like, oh, what's he going to do next?
Right.
So, you know, he had that elaborate opening segment. And this was just sort of her telling some jokes.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that we haven't talked about on the show today, Matt, and that is that there was no, like, Billy Crystal obviously was the master of those video montages that he would insert himself in. I don't expect her to rip off his bit, but I mean, she literally just came out like it was an episode of The Ellen Show. There was nothing special going on at all in it, except some pretty solid jokes.
That's true. And, you know, there was great fodder this year. She could have done a little video with her in space, like Sandra Bullock. She could have come out in the Amy Adams outfit from American Hustle. Stuff right. like that would have been more traditional Oscar opening things. But it was just like it was her show.
When we saw her in the Wizard of Oz dress late in the show, it was the first time I ever remember seeing her in a dress. Ever.
Yeah, I think, you know, didn't she? I think she did a romantic comedy in the 90s, Mr. Wrong, or something like that. But yeah, I don't think she's.
I'm glad I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure.
Matt Bellany is here. He is the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. He was at the Academy Awards last night and the parties after. And you did not like the show in general, right?
You know, it's not that I didn't like it. I thought it was fine. It just wasn't, you know,
it wasn't great.
There were very few surprises, both from the winners and from Ellen. You know, one thing I will say that they did right is they let people talk
they
in
did.
Their speeches.
And that's also what they did wrong.
Oh.
Because not everybody has that much good to say.
No, but it's worth getting the real emotional moments. Matthew McConaughey, Lupita Nyong'o, some of the great Jared Leto's speech.
Jared Leto's was great.
Really great.
It was way too long. Right, I agree.
It's worth getting those moments because honestly, it's not the Grammys. You're not tuning in for the performances. You're tuning in for those special like emotional moments, and that's what they gave.
That's a good point. All right, we'll take a break. Come back more. It's our breakdown of last night's Academy Awards here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. We'll return in a moment.
And Barkhad Abdi is here. He is nominated for Captain Phillips from Somalia. He is a sommelier, so he knows a lot about wine, and that is impressive. Who's the wine captain now?
Now, was that Ellen? Was that Ellen doing a Letterman bit where she's making corny jokes, and the joke is how corny they are?
Yes.
That's what's going on.
That's true. Yeah.
That wasn't just straight up, I think this is funny, right? That's look how goofy I am for making this joke.
Well, it got a laugh. It got a laugh,
but I think she probably delivered it that way. She knows.
She's smart.
Smart person.
Matt Bellany in studio with us now. He is the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. What else caught your eye last night, Matt, that you want to talk about?
I think the Kim Novak segment, I think at least on social media, that was the one, you know, these award shows have.
She's the one that looks like the Joker?
Yeah, she has had a little work done to her face.
But wait, a little work done on her face. She's the one that came out with Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm. And she talked like this. Okay, here's the next award.
I was like, what happened to her?
Yeah.
And it does, I know I'm making a joke about her being, but it does look like she has scars from the edges of her mouth back.
You know, and back in the day, she was a beautiful actress, and she's 81, and God bless her for being there. But it was one of those things on Twitter, it just started blowing up, like, who is this? You know, why did they bring out the Joker? And Matthew McConaughey, you know, to
God
his credit.
God bless him for trying so hard.
He just, you know, sort of rolled with it. They probably looked at the list of presenters and said, okay, who can we put with her that will be able to handle this?
Who
this
understands is crazy?
Yeah.
And they came up with
He's also very gentlemanly, and he was doing everything he could to keep her near the mic so that she could be heard and to help her when she was obviously having trouble with her lines. I mean, it looked like in retrospect he was the right choice to help an older person. But this is the problem that I think they have on the Academy Awards telecast, Matt, is that you're trying to honor Hollywood, and Hollywood has a history. And it's nice sometimes to honor those people like Kim Novak and Sidney Poitier and some of the older actors, but sometimes they don't make very good television. So it kind of puts them in a tight spot, right?
It does, but I will say something. You know, after the Golden Globes with Jacqueline Bisset and her whole crazy speech,
right.
that also became a social media moment. And these kind of train wreck moments during award shows,
they are the best.
They are the best.
They do wake you up.
And that's what people watch these for, because they can talk about it on social media. They can laugh with their friends. I mean, it really does kind of add something when there's a non-safe moment.
How does the Academy decide who among the hundreds and hundreds of actors that are out there are going to be presenters on the show? I mean, I know some of them are tradition because if you won last year, you come back and present this year. But beyond that, how do they pick some of those people that we saw last night that seemed kind of random?
I think, you know, like you said, they, if you win in the acting categories, they invite you back to present the next year. But I think the rest of it, it's really a demographic breakdown. They try to hit every category. They get, you know, a young girl like Anna Kendrick who will appeal to a certain demographic.
Right.
They bring in a lot of international stars who will appeal to the international audience. They try to get some older stars, some African American stars. They really try to run the gamut so that, you know, they appeal to the widest possible group.
Which is an impossible. I mean, it's an impossible task. If you want to appeal to everybody, it is impossible.
And it's also tough. I mean, some actors don't want to do it. They know all the hoopla that comes from walking the red carpet and getting scrutinized by a million blogs and then, you know, showing up. The one thing they do get is an amazing gift bag.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Something like, I think the latest one was about $5,000 was the value. And, you know, you get a trip, you get all these, you know, expensive products and different things just for presenting.
You know, I bet there are a lot of stars, you're absolutely right, who would rather, like a sporting event for many of us, would rather watch it on television. It's just more fun and more comfortable to be at home watching the Oscars than have to endure that evening out, right?
Sure. Or they think, you know what, I'll go to the Oscars when I'm nominated. And
right.
If they're not, then why would I be there just to promote myself? But it's a great platform.
Yeah.
Sure. What would you do if they came to you, Matt, and they said, hey, you've been covering Hollywood for a long time. You know what's wrong with the show. We're going to let you fix it. What would you do?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would incorporate some video element, whether it's exclusive trailers or some kind of a, you know, clip from an upcoming movie. I mean, people love that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
And they don't actually do that. I mean, they show these clip packages of old movies that are just kind of worthless.
Like the hero one we were talking about. Like the hero one is just nonsense and no reason for it.
Right, but what if they showed 2 minutes of the new Spider-Man movie that's not coming out till this summer? You would watch that.
That's a great idea. The only time we see anything like that is when the companies buy time within the Super Bowl to debut a trailer.
But sure.
The Academy Awards is the next biggest audience on television all year long. It seems like that would make a lot of sense, and it's all about movies.
Totally, and it would be promotional, and you could have a lottery amongst the studios to figure out which, you know, four or five people get to show something, and the only rule would be it's got to be exclusive. You can't have shown this anywhere else. People would tune in for that.
I think so, too.
Could they make it the world's greatest two-hour show, Matt?
I don't think that's possible until the Academy decides not to show all the categories on the show.
Right.
They toyed with that a few years ago. They put some of the awards into the audience and tried to, like, make them shorter. And people in the Academy were upset by that. Until they do what the Grammys did, which was just say, okay, we're recognizing this is about the stuff that goes around the awards, not the actual awards. Until they do that, it's going to be a long slog.
But I need to see who wins best production design.
You don't, though. You know, they can do a quick video package of that, like highlights of them winning or something like
they
that.
They could, I know. But then that person's mom doesn't get to see them on stage.
Well, that person's mom will live.
Like the way they handled the honorary Oscars this year with Steve Martin, Angela Lansbury, and Angelina Jolie. That was a very nice package that they presented. I thought that was very effective.
It was, but they got away with that because they have a whole separate award show now for those categories that are honorary. They do that in November, so they were able to do it, and people don't freak out about it. But moving stuff off stage or putting in a video clip package, that would upset a lot of people.
Interesting. All right, last question before you go, Matt, because we know you have a very busy day at the Hollywood Reporter. There weren't very many surprises last night with either 12 Years a Slave as Best Picture or the you know, all the various acting categories that won. Were you disappointed in any of those, or did you think those were the right choices?
You know, I think that overall, it was a strong group, and you know, the big surprises to me were that American Hustle got zero awards.
Yeah.
Wolf of Wall Street got zero awards.
Yeah, that was
those were two films that
Bad Grandpa, I noticed, didn't get any
Bad
awards.
Grandpa completely shut out.
Right, snubbed.
Johnny Knoxville, just total snub. But I think that was a big surprise because everybody you talked to during award season, actors really loved American Hustle, and there were all four main actors were nominated.
Right.
And then you get to the big show and just a zero.
Yeah. And by the way, you watch that movie and you look at Christian Bale and you go, how does this guy not win an Oscar for every role he's in? He's so brilliant in that movie.
He's pretty great. And then you talk to him in person and he's like very shy and doesn't, you know, he's kind of awkward. It's amazing.
All right. Anything else we need to know about Hollywood Reporter, what you guys have planned for the post-Oscars?
We got a ton of coverage on the site today, THR.com, and our print issue's out on Wednesday with all the Oscar stuff, Hollywood Reporter.
Fantastic. Thanks, Matt. We appreciate the time.
Thanks.
World famous K-Rock at 7:53.
Hey, congratulations to whom? Going to the Swiss Alps to see the Black Keys from the world famous K-Rock?
Frank DeRosa. Frank DeRosa from Hermosa Beach.
Frank DeRosa
going to the Swiss Alps.
How about that? Frank is our latest winner of the K-Rock World Tour. That is destination number 4, Black Keys in the Swiss Alps. So way to go at 9:10 this morning. We're not doing World Tour. We're just sending you down the road into the desert for Coachella. We have 3-day passes for Coachella at 9:10 this morning and every day this week here on the Kevin Beach Show. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
How far is the Marriott from the... from the festival. Do I just come down there and get my tickets?
That's exactly how it works, yes. You want to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Oh, Hop loves to rock.
That's what I hear.
Of course, all the talk is about movies because of the Oscars last night. Let's take a look at the weekend's box office and see what movies people went to see. As I predicted, it was a battle between Jesus and Zeus.
Jesus and Zeus.
Jesus and Zeus just battling it out for supremacy. Turns out, Zeus beats Jesus every time.
Who knew?
Congratulations to the ancient Greeks. Your god Zeus kicked some Jesus ass. Liam Neeson, who of course played Zeus in the Clash of the Titans, he was in Nonstop. His brand new movie opened up this weekend to $30 million in its debut. But right behind it, Jesus kept punching. turn that other cheek. No, sir. He was coming strong. $26.5 million for Son of God, the Jesus movie. And if many of you have no idea, there was a Jesus movie called Son of God out this weekend. That's because it wasn't for you.
Oh, I see. Okay.
What they did is they got the buses and they loaded them up there at the churches and they bought out entire theaters. And,
wow.
Certain portion of the population that is pushing this particular viewpoint brought their people en masse.
I guess so.
As they say, and almost took the top slot for the weekend. But
that's our friend Mark Burnett's movie, by the way.
Sure is. He and his wife, Roma Downey, were producers of this film. What basically it is, it's all the Jesus stuff from the Bible miniseries. From the History Channel.
Yeah.
They took all the Jesus out, and they stitched that all together into one movie. Slapped Son of God on it. Boom. Going to theaters. Ka-ching.
Interesting.
I gotta see. Because Jesus is all about the money, you know that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
He likes to make a little coin here and there.
All about the bling.
He's all about the bling, that JC. The Lego movie was third, 21 mil. Pretty strong for its, I don't know, fourth weekend?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Monuments Men made $5 million, made it number 4. Then 3 Days to Kill, the Kevin Costner film, was 6th. RoboCop came in at number 6. I guess 5 days ago was number 5. RoboCop was number 6. Pompeii, as they say.
That's Pompeii.
Pompeii,
I believe,
as they say in ancient Rome. Oh, Pompeii.
I think it's Pompeii.
7th, About Last Night. 8th, Frozen was 9th. And Ride Along was number 10. Speaking of Frozen, highlight of the evening for me last night at the Oscars had to be, by far, John Travolta introducing us to a brand new singer who I'd never heard of before. He really brought her to the public consciousness. Congratulations to Adela Dazeem. She is now everyone's favorite singer. Here's what happened. Idina Menzel, the legendary Broadway performer from Rent and Wicked, and she's been in movies and television. She was singing her song Let It Go from Frozen, the smash Disney animated hit. And John Travolta came out to introduce her before she performed. And instead of saying Idina Menzel, well, here's how he introduced her.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
The one and only Adele Dazeem. You don't need to, she barely needs an introduction, that Adele Dazeem.
You think he walked backstage and went, what happened?
What did I just do? How did Adele Dazeem come out?
Start over and speak differently.
Yes, do that differently.
Adele Dazeem.
Is not
the
correct.
Wickedly talented one and only Adele.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
It's fun, not even close, by the way.
It's fun to see somebody besides me do that.
That's not.
I enjoy
it. Dinah Menzel or Idina, or like maybe he struggles with that. But just went way off the reservation.
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem? not even close to Idina Menzel.
You're going to have to speak in English for me.
I mean, many of the same letters are contained in both names, but not in nearly that order.
Adele Dazeem.
She does good work, by the way. Adele Dazeem has her own Twitter.
of course she does.
Right now, if you'd like to follow her. She said, thank you, thank you, Joan Travolta, I think it was. Anyway,
The Razzies were given out on Saturday. Now, the Razzie Awards are to bad movies, but the Oscars are to good movies. The 34th Annual Golden Raspberry Awards were handed out on Saturday. Here are the big winners. Congratulations to Tyler Perry, who picked up Worst Actress for his role in A Medea Christmas. Kim Kardashian picked up the Worst Supporting Actress for her role in Tyler Perry's Temptation. Worst Supporting Actor? Well, that was Will Smith for his work in After Earth, and he must be so proud because Worst Lead Actor went to his son, Jaden Smith.
Aw, keep it in the family.
For After Earth. That's last night when Will Smith came out to give the award for Best Film.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking, what the hell is Will Smith and Best Movie? How is that in the same sentence? Why are they asking him
to introduce
He's
a black guy.
And then it dawned on me once they announced the winner why it was the case. Which just smacked a tokenism of me on so many levels. I just felt like, that's just weird. Don't you bring out Nicholson or somebody with some gravitas? Like someone who's had some association with winners of the Best Picture in the past?
I can see that.
Will Smith?
Yeah, that was...
I bet if you looked back, I bet generally that's an Oscar winner, too.
Who does that
Who does that? Who brings
that?
Out the Best Picture, yeah.
Yeah, I would thought so, too. I thought it was very strange.
Hmm.
Worst movie, the Razzie went to Movie 43, which was that oddly stitched-together series of sketches and stuff that came out
I never
out
saw
last
that. That just looked bad.
You never saw that?
Looked bad from the beginning.
Well, I'm stunned,
How
sir. I'm shocked.
Dare you, sir.
The worst director went to the 13 directors who were involved in that movie, and the worst screenplay award went to the 29 screenwriters also involved in Movie 43. So I can't see how it didn't work when it had 29 screenwriters and 13 directors. You would think a cohesive piece of comedy would have come out of that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Miranda Richardson, 56 years old today. Former Metallica bassist Jason Newsted is 51. Julie Bowen is 44. David Faustino, 40 years old. Jessica Biel celebrates her 32nd birthday today. And the reason we celebrate the day at 48 years of age, Mr. Tone Loc.
Funky coma.
Yeah.
He good, said three words in that clip.
Good clip,
Mike.
You've got a lot of drum. You know there's a great cover version of that song?
No.
Adele Dazeem.
Oh,
if you've ever
really?
Heard Adele Dazeem's cover of Funky Cold Medina.
I've never heard
pick
that.
Pick it up on her new album.
Weird.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Brand new Coldplay that we have been featuring all morning long here on the world famous K-Rock. That is called Magic. Brand new Coldplay. Good to have them back. They have a new album coming out soon, so we're looking forward to that. It is 8:08.
I want to say it's May 18th, sounds right to me, for the new album called Ghost Stories. It's weird because last week, Ralph came in with an exclusive of another Coldplay song called Midnight, and that lasted a day.
Yeah.
And then this new one called Magic came out, so now we've heard two songs from the new record. Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Monday. We'll talk more about the Oscars coming up from the Academy Award broadcast last night. Mr. Skin is going to be on later this hour with his Anatomy Awards, but first, something completely different. We had our friend Chris Hardwick on, who, of course, is the host of The Talking Dead on AMC After the Walking Dead. And we've had Chris on for many, many years. He used to work at K-Rock. He used to be a DJ here back in the 90s. So we've known Chris for a long time. But he was on, and he somehow dropped in the conversation that we had with him that he had memorized pi, the mathematical formula that has something to do with circumferences. I'm not a math guy.
I know 3.14. I know that.
I know 5.9. I know that much.
Okay. All right.
All right, that's about as far as we go. 3.1459, and then I think it's a 2 and maybe a 6, and then I'm out. Okay, he has memorized pi, I think he said, Kevin, didn't he, over 100 places?
Yes.
Okay, now there are other people who have memorized it to 1,000 places. I mean, that's one of those things that people use as a memory thing, where they memorize it.
What's the thinking behind that? Because why? I mean, how is it ever going to come up in
ever.
Any... Ever, right?
Ever.
It's useless.
Yes. You never, ever, ever use pi. Even at 3.14, you never, ever use that in your daily life.
Right.
in any circumstances ever in your whole life. Forget your daily life. In your whole life.
Somebody to buy you a drink, you'll go 10 spaces. Do you need 100? No, the answer is no.
So Chris Hardwick has memorized pi to 100 spaces. And maybe that's just to further prove what a geek he is. like we couldn't tell. But we thought it might be interesting to find out from the Kevin and Bean listeners the other stuff that you have memorized. Things that you have memorized for whatever reason, you know it cold. And I don't know what we're going to get, but I guarantee there are people out there who, for bar tricks or for whatever reason, learn something and it stuck with them and they've memorized it. And people are always surprised when they know it.
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing. And this is Kevin speaking, am the wrong guy for this. I have memorized nothing and remember nothing. So I sort of admire people who do this. But then why?
But why?
Right.
Like, what does it do for you? Like I had a wife once who knew all of the states in alphabetical order, and she could rattle them off just like she was saying her ABCs.
Right.
And I don't know why she ever learned to do that, but she was blah, 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 blah. In like 12 seconds, she could name all the states in alphabetical order.
But then when she was done, you know what she accomplished? Nothing.
She named all the states in alphabetical order. So I bet we have listeners out there who can call us now at 1-800-520-1067. You know all the presidents in order. You know the periodic table of the elements in order. Whatever it is you've got. We want to hear from you.
I'll bet sports fans
have
statistics committed to memory. Or their favorite player, their favorite team, whatever.
I have a friend who memorized, what is it now? Now that I say it, now that I start that sentence, I'm having trouble remembering the end of it. I think he memorized the starting lineup of his favorite baseball team every year from when he was a kid. He'd be able to tell you one right after another. It's one of those things that, you know, he was obsessed with as a kid and it just stuck with him. And even now, years later, he can tell you who was playing, you know, a shortstop in 1984.
Right. But no one cares who played shortstop in 1984.
But no one cares. Exactly. So I'm very curious to see what our listeners are going to come up with. The stuff that you have memorized. All the lines are ringing, by the way. Let's try Tony. Let's at least do Tony here before we have to take a break at 1-800-520-1067. Tony, you're the first caller through. What did you memorize?
I memorized the Greek alphabet.
The Greek alphabet. Because?
In college, when you pledge like a fraternity or a sorority, they make you learn it just for the hell of it. And then it's just always stuck with me. And if I go to like a Greek restaurant or something like that, I'll say, hey, I can memorize the Greek alphabet if you give me a shot of ouzo. And they always say, go for it. Let's hear it.
All right. So at least you get a shot out of it. So that's paying off.
Can we hear it, Tony? You have it on the tip of your tongue?
Alpha, beta, delta, gamma, gamma, epsilon. Alpha, beta, delta, gamma, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, nu, mu, omicron. Oh, hold on. I screwed up.
Yeah. No, it sounded good.
Beta, no shot for
alpha,
you.
Beta, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa,
we've already
lambda,
ruled
nu,
against
nu,
the
di,
shot,
omicron,
Tony.
Omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega.
Wow. That was actually a little bit more impressive than I thought it would be. All right. Thank you very much for the call, Tony. We appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Tammy. She's on 3. She's a lonely woman who's never, ever, ever had a date. Hi, Tammy.
I knew we would get this, too. Tammy, what have you memorized?
I memorized the preamble to the Constitution.
Was this for an 8th grade history report or what?
No, what happened was we were those kids who used to watch a lot of Saturday morning cartoons.
Right.
And they had Schoolhouse Rock. And
right.
Schoolhouse Rock had it in a song.
Okay.
And when I got to high school, my AP history teacher said, if anyone knows the preamble to the Constitution, I will give you an A.
What?
No, from the first week of school. I was like, got it.
All right, so do you still know it?
Yes, sir.
Let's hear it.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice and ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All ladies right. and gentlemen.
It doesn't take the place of a man, but, you know.
Thank you, Tammy.
She's got that
Thank
going
you.
For her.
Appreciate the call. Andrew, you hang on. Nicole, Kristen, everybody, give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. What have you memorized? That's a strange question to be asking this morning, isn't it? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Got to be honest, we're getting a lot more phone calls than I thought we would get.
And by the way, please note this, that almost all of them are from women.
Weird.
Isn't that weird? We're talking about things that you memorize, long lists of things. Our friend Chris Hardwick, who may or may not be a woman, memorized pi to 100 places. So people are calling in telling us what they've memorized, like Veronica, who emails, "Dear Kevin and Bean, I can also name the states in alphabetical order, as well as all the presidents in order. Why? I learned them as a song in third grade and just never forgot." I wonder if that's where a lot of these come from, is mnemonic devices when you learn them as little kids.
I don't know, but they all have one thing in common, and that's that it's useless. Unless maybe you get a drink out of it at a bar. But other than that, it doesn't really help you to know the preamble to the Constitution.
Speaking of presidents, let's go to Sharon. She's on line 7. She claims that she knows all the presidents of the U.S. in order of serving or alphabetically, Sharon?
In order of serving. And I learned it to the tune of 10 Little Indians when Reagan was president. So the song ends with Reagan, and then I have to add the other four presidents.
I like it. Go.
Would you mind if we heard some of that?
Do you want me to sing it, or
yep.
Do you want me to just quote it? Okay.
Sing it.
Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Adams, Jackson, Van Buren, Harrison, Tyler, Polk, and Taylor, Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, Lincoln, Johnson, Grant, and Hayes, Garfield, Arthur, Cleveland, Harrison, McKinley, Roosevelt, Taft, Wilson, Harding, Coolidge, and Hoover.
I've heard enough of this song.
I thought it was awesome. Are you kidding me? I loved it, Sharon. Exactly. Thank you for the call, my dear. Appreciate that so much. Let's go to Marissa. She's another lady person, and she is on line 2. Hi, Marissa.
Hi. Good morning.
What did you memorize?
I have memorized since the third grade the books of the New Testament, and it's kind of funny because I'm not even very religious.
Why did you learn in the third grade then?
One of my babysitters, she was just had a contest for us to memorize things, and I've known it since then.
Huh. All right. Let's hear the books of the New Testament.
All right, ready? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to the Acts of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrew and the Book of James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd, 3rd and John, Jude and Revelation.
We wouldn't know if she was wrong, would we? It's all about a song, isn't it? Pretty much everybody's learning stuff to a song.
Yep.
Yeah,
sounds
and
like
just
it.
Like, you know. Yeah, I learned the ABCs backwards too, and most people think that helps you get out of DUIs. However, it hasn't, so...
Well, keep at it.
Thank you, Marissa. Appreciate the call. Speaking of learning the alphabet backwards, let's go to Shannon. That's what she's calling about. I didn't know that this was a thing either.
Hey, Shannon.
Good morning, guys.
Well, none of these are useful. I mean, come on. Alphabet backwards.
Why would you know Z to A? What does that do for you?
Well, I learned it in 7th or 8th grade as part of a chorus warm-up song.
Okay.
And I've just never forgotten it, and it actually has gotten me out of multiple tickets.
What?
Yes.
Wait a minute. You told a cop that you could do the alphabet backward, and he said, if you can, I'll let you go?
Pretty much.
What?
He was questioning whether I had been drinking or not, and I told him, look, I'm a nurse, so I wouldn't do that. Plus, I can say the alphabet backwards, and I bet you have people who try to do that when they're drunk. And I can actually do it, and it works.
All right, let's hear it, Shannon. And by the way, before you do it, have you been drinking this morning?
No, I have not.
All right, good luck.
Okay, ZYXWVUTSRQPONLKJIHDFEDCB and A.
Look at that.
She makes it sound so easy. That's fantastic.
No, it's nothing.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Kristen, another lady. She's on line 1. Kristen, what crazy thing have you memorized?
I memorized the prepositions to the song of Yankee Doodle.
Well, of course you did. Prepositions to the tune of Yankee Doodle.
Yes. Okay. I learned it when I was a little girl in school and just have never forgotten it.
Wow, we got a lot of nerds listening. Let's hear it.
Okay. Aboard, about, above, across, after, against, among, around, at, be, behind, beneath, begin, before, by, down, during, except for, from, in, into, near, of, off, on, over, past, through, throughout, to, towards, under, until, up, with, a noun, or pronoun.
This is the strangest call-in we've ever done. That's hilarious. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Erica. We're going to close with Erica because she is going to take us out exactly where we began, talking about our friend Chris Hardwick, who has memorized pi, the mathematical formula pi, to 100 places. Erica, you heard that and you thought, I can do that.
Yes, exactly. That's something that I love is math, and so it was just something to do in my spare time.
What's happening? Bean, I thought these would all be guys as well, and they're all girls.
It's crazy. So what do you, like, has it ever helped you in any situation?
It helps me in school when I do, because I'm actually studying to be a particle physicist. So
me too. That's so weird.
Hey, before we hear it, I was having trouble even trying to explain. What does pi tell us?
Pi is an infinite number. It's an irrational number. So anything that you do, it's pretty much measuring circles and circumferences and things like that. It's useful when you need
never.
Circles. It's useful never. Exactly.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, let's hear it.
But I'm not going to go up to 100 because it's going to take.
Yeah, that's, we would cut you off long before that. But let's go. Yeah. Let's go like 20.
Okay, 3 1 4 1 5 9 2 6 5 3 5 8 9 7 9 3 2 3 8 4 6 2 6 4 3 3 8 3 2 7 9 7 5 0 2 8 8 4 1 9.
I'm sorry, you missed a 6. Right near the beginning, you missed a 6. I apologize.
Don't try to get your weak-ass pie past Kevin, man. He knows.
Fiend, try to control your excitement, please.
Why? Because the second-best human in the world is on the phone? Hey, now that you're all caught up with last night's Academy Awards, head on over to MrSkin.com and catch up on the 15th Annual Anatomy Awards. Our favorite man, Mr. Skin, on the phone. Hit it, Steve.
Mr. Skin. Mr. Skin, MrSkin.com.
Mr. Skin, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, how you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
Now, listen, we got a lot of ground we got to cover with you today, and I want to start with...
So little time.
Exactly. Correct. You were tweeting some very interesting things last night during the Academy Awards, and I want to start off at the top of the segment here with, what's this about a Scarlett Johansson nude scene coming out next month? Tell me about that.
Yeah, this is very exciting. April 4th, to be exact, my Skin Scouts were at the Toronto Film Fest in September, and they saw this movie. She plays an alien, and she has 3 confirmed topless scenes in this. And, you know,
confirmed.
Confirmed.
It's people putting their hand on a Bible and swearing in a court.
Yeah, I swear that Scarlett Johansson will be naked.
All right.
The interesting thing is I saw, you know, I'm a big fan of this True Detective on HBO.
Yeah, that's
this,
a great show.
Alexandra Daddario, the girl from the Percy Jackson movies, in the second episode had a nude scene. It happened to be on January 19th. And I was watching that live, and I said, the second I saw her nude, I go, that's going to be the best nude scene of 2014. The only one that has a chance of beating that is Scarlett Johansson in Under the Skin.
Yeah, that True Detective, and I know you've been featuring it on the site, that woman is unbelievable, Mr. Skin.
Yeah, you know, she had never done a nude scene before. She has, like, D-cup natural breasts. She's beautiful.
She is beautiful.
She's from the Percy Jackson movies, which is, like, something you'd watch with your kids. And lo and behold, she does this, not only just topless scene, complete nudity, and it's from a great, great show. I mean, that's all the elements of a best nude scene.
Now, before we get into the Anatomy Awards, something else that was interesting last night is I didn't realize that 4 out of the 5 Best Actress nominees at the Oscars last night and 4 out of 5 of the Best Supporting Actress nominees last night have all been nude in previous films. That was a shock to me.
Right. No, that's great information. There's 10 total, actress and supporting actress. The only 2 you cannot find nudity of, one is bad, Jennifer Lawrence. That's unfortunate. She's never done a nude scene. One people might not be as upset about, June Squibb from Nebraska has never done a nude
scene. Well, that's all right. That is just okay with me.
You said that Julia Roberts was nude in...
Pretty Woman. A lot of people don't know because you have to freeze frame. One hour, 35-minute mark. You could clearly see breasts through the bed railings as she's with Richard Gere in bed. It is 100% accurate. You can see breasts. It's quick, but you can see it.
Speaking of freeze framing, I know I always say when I come to Chicago, I need to swing by the Mr. Skin offices, but I appreciate that, Jim, but I'm so fascinated with your team of researchers. One of the things you have on the Anatomy Awards this year is Greta Garbo, a nip slip from a film that came out in 1933. How did you even find that?
Well, because it came out on Blu-ray. It's called Grand Hotel. They re-released it on Blu-ray. So my nipologists were going through this old movie, and lo and behold, her left breast popped out. It's not even just a nip slip. You could see her whole left breast. And, you know, we've always had, when people ask me in the past, I always said Greta Garbo never naked.
Right.
But because this came out on Blu-ray and we could actually, you know, it's tough to see it on a grainy video, but on Blu-ray it's pretty crystal clear that her left breast comes out. So this was a great discovery by the guys, and that was one of the 44 awards we gave out was best classic Blu-ray re-release nude scene.
Well, we're talking to Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com, where
Mr.
you can see...
Skin, MrSkin, MrSkin.com.
MrSkin.com. You can see pictures and videos of all of the stuff that we're talking about at MrSkin.com. And it really does run the gamut from the best nip slip of Tina Fey, who sort of popped a little bit of a nipple on the Emmy Awards last year. All the way to Margot Robbie, who just captivated everyone in those nude scenes in The Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, you just got a little bit of everything for everybody this year.
Oh, yeah, and we got crazy scenes, too. But I should point out on the best nip slip, what makes a great nip slip is when it comes from someone you know will never do a nude scene. That gets it, you know, it makes it extra exciting. And
sure.
There's no way Tina Fey's ever going to do, like, an R-rated nude scene where she's walking naked towards the camera. It's too bad.
Hey, never say never, man.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, let's be realistic. Now, Margot Robbie, Nudecomer of the Year. Our definition of a nudecomer is someone you've never heard of who does a nude scene and because of that nude scene becomes a star. And she's a great example because no one knew her. She was an Australian actress. She's in Wolf of Wall Street. It comes out on Christmas Day. Right now, if you go to IMDb, she's the number four most searched actress at IMDb.
Wow.
Yeah, and she has an upcoming movie. She's going to play Jane in the Tarzan and Jane movie. And now everyone knows her. She's the trophy wife of Leo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street.
It kind of reminds me, you're talking about coming out of nowhere. Who is that actress, Mr. Skin, from American Pie who had that scene? And overnight, she was the biggest.
Shannon Elizabeth.
Yeah, Shannon. That's where we got introduced to her was from that scene, yeah.
And her whole career was based off that movie and that nude scene. I mean, she was even on Dancing with the Stars after that, yeah.
You could also say the same about Emily Ratajkowski, right? Ratajkowski,
sure.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if it's Ratajkowski what it is, but she's gorgeous. She was the girl, one of the three models in the Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines unrated version, which we all saw.
Mm-hmm.
She also was just recently in the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. And I always say this, it's not fair when a supermodel does a nude scene in a movie or TV or video. I mean, because model breasts trump regular breasts, so it's not fair, but she did definitely have the best breasts.
Let's talk about some of the oddball categories this year. Now, is this a first at the Anatomy Awards in 15 years? Have you ever had best albino nudity before this year?
No, this is spectacular. I'm so proud that our guys found this. It's from a miniseries called Top of the Lake, which, by the way, Elizabeth Moss, Peggy from Mad Men, actually went full frontal in this, so it was great for us on a lot of levels. But
it was a great miniseries, by the way. I loved it.
Yeah, very good. And I'll tell you what, in our history, 15 years of doing these awards, we've never had an albino nude scene, and I'm very proud, and I'm sure Lauren House is very proud
sure.
to have won best albino nude scene.
Have you ever had before this year best nude ping pong scene?
No, that was Lena Dunham and Girls, and it's, you know, Lena Dunham does a ton of nude scenes. She's obviously not the most gorgeous actress in the world, but she has fun with it, and we never turned down nudity, but she was the only celebrity that was nude and played ping pong at the same time.
Well, you are always looking for that, those two things.
Now, Mr. Skid, let's talk a little bit about the over 50 nude scene. Now, you gave it to Allison Janney, who was topless in Masters of Sex, that HBO series. I'm sure you guys have discussion in the Mr. Skin office. At what point do you not want to see your actresses nude, or does that not exist?
Well, I've always said this. I encourage all nudity. I don't discourage it because, you know what, maybe to you and me that scene wasn't the most exciting, but there's some guy out there who loves her and loves the scene. Maybe a 65-year-old guy is like, hey, that's why should we rain on their parade? So we celebrate that stuff. Now, granted, there weren't a lot of girls over 50 that did nude scenes this year, especially in their late 50s, but that Masters of Sex was it actually also won our best TV series for nudity, too. So we really love Masters of Sex on Showtime.
I do remember, I think it was last year, there was a foreign language movie at the Oscars, and it was a very sad story about people dying or something, an old lady getting helped into a bathtub, and how excited you were that she was topless. She was like 70 or something.
I know. That Emmanuel Riva is her name, and she broke Jessica Tandy's record. Jessica Tandy was the oldest until Emmanuel Riva showed breasts.
I don't know that we need that race.
Yeah, I know, but we crowned a competition in the history of film. So, yeah, what are you going to do?
All right, we're almost out of time here, Mr. Skin. What's another favorite on the list for this year's Anatomy Awards that we haven't hit yet?
Well, I think you touched on the albino scene, which is great. The I don't know if we had a chance to talk about the best full frontal because this was such a spectacular scene that you have to know about it. It's Rosario Dawson in Trance. And let's just say it's very rare for a big-name actress to walk completely nude towards a camera anyway. But when you are, let's say, very waxed, it's even more rare. And right. Rosario Dawson in Trance, this is one of the most spectacular nude scenes ever. And if you have a chance, check that one out. It's great.
Well, I liked the movie a lot, too. How far into the film for people who are very busy, Mr. Skin?
At the 58-minute mark. So
of course.
It's fantastic.
Or become a subscriber to Mr. Skin for like $1 a day.
MrSkin.com.
And you can see the Trance clip as well as all the other video clips and photos that we're talking about. The 15th Annual Anatomy Awards are up at MrSkin.com. Always a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
In me. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Why are you playing Bound 2? I don't understand.
Bound 2.
Uh-huh, honey.
Okay. That's Fantagram. Fall in Love. That's the name of that.
Uh-huh, honey. Yeah. Do you want to sink?
Time,
same song, isn't it?
It's happening.
Time for the showbiz beat now with Adele Azim. What's going on, Adele?
Oh, Adele Azim. I'll tell you, I'm glad I held on to my Adele Azim concert tickets because now her stock has gone through the roof. You can't buy her tickets now for the Hollywood Bowl. No one knew who Adele Azim was before.
Right.
Now, you know, Travolta goes out last night and talks about Adele Azim, and boom, she's an international superstar. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, last night in the Grammys, all of the performers of the four original songs for a motion picture that were nominated for Best Song last night were on hand to perform. U2 did a stirring rendition of Ordinary Love.
That was really good.
Really good.
Thought so, too.
And Karen from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs was there, did her song from her.
She was good.
Karen O, yeah. And then who else was there?
There was that other person.
Pharrell.
Pharrell, right. Did Happy from... Despicable Me too. And then also nominated was the smash hit song Let It Go from Frozen, the Disney blockbuster animated movie, which won Best Animated Movie last night as well. And to perform was the lovely lady who plays the lead in that movie and was going to sing the song, Idina Menzel, who, of course, is a big Broadway star. She's on...
I'm sorry, what's her name?
Idina Menzel. She was in Wicked. Probably her biggest hit on Broadway was Wicked, but also Rent, and she's been on Glee. And it's just known as just a diva in the musical world. And she really is sort of well-known.
Oh, yeah. She's a big star, certainly for anyone in show business. And somebody who comes out like John Travolta and says how much he loves musicals. Obviously, yes. He's got to be a fan of Miss Menzel.
He has to. And he knows it. He said, wickedly talented. I mean, he throws her biggest credit in there and then introduces us to Idina Menzel.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
Wait, he was the bad guy in Homeland, right?
Adele Dazeem.
He got both names wrong.
Idina Menzel, Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
Is that the new Oprah? Uma.
That's like a level of dyslexia I've never even encountered before.
I love this so much when it's not me.
Yeah. It was a Kevin-esque moment.
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. Even Kevin wouldn't have gone that far. Kevin would have said... It's Mendina Azel, or Idina Menzel, or something close to Idina Menzel.
Adele Dazeem.
Yeah, it was my favorite moment by far.
That was sweet.
That and how Matthew McConaughey keeps chasing after himself in 10 years in the future. But that was an interesting time travel phenomenon.
That was a weird
speech. I think that was a pitch for a new movie. I think it's going to be McConaughey chasing himself 10 years in the future.
That was a weird thing.
My hero is me 10 years in the future. Because I know I'm not going to be him, but I'm chasing him 10 years in the future.
Yeah. And in the same speech, he talked about how God is a scientist, and it's proven mathematically that karma comes back. It went all over the place.
Gratitude is self-perpetuating. It's a scientific fact.
I just was waiting
all right.
He gave it to you. But it took a while. He was teasing me with a bunch of nonsense.
The big winners last night at the Oscars, Matthew McConaughey indeed won for Best Actor for his role as Ron Woodruff in Dallas Buyers Club. His co-star Jared Leto picked up the Best Supporting Actor. And rightly so. Best Actress honors went to Cate Blanchett for her work in Blue Jasmine. Lupita Nyong'o one for 12 years a slave. Hard to believe she has spent her entire young life thinking she was horribly unattractive because her skin was so dark.
She's it is.
Real emotional and mental trauma from that in her life, where she would pray to God every night as a child.
Is this
please,
true?
Please let my skin be lighter when I wake up. And she would wake up the same shade of black and be heartbroken, heartsick about it.
Really?
Said she was teased as a child. And when you look at her now, she's stunning.
Beautiful. So beautiful. Yeah.
So classy and well put together and stuff. It's sad.
You could really, at least this was my read coming off the TV, there was a lot of affection for her in the room when she won. People were genuinely excited for her.
Well, that's what I got off the TV, too. Off the TV.
She's no
Adele Dazeem.
Well, who is Adele Dazeem, for God's sakes? No one. She stands alone in the firmament of stars.
No one indeed.
Alfonso Cuarón won Best Director for Gravity. Gravity, by the way, had a monstrous night. Took home 7 Academy Awards, cinematography, visual effects, musical score, Best Director. It really is the best movie of the year, unless you ask the Academy. And then they said it was 12 Years a Slave.
We give you all these wonderful... You are the best, people! And this movie is... all the components of this movie are, without a doubt, the best achievement in...
12 Years a Slave. It's very confusing to me, but what do I...
Does that happen a lot? I mean, do they give one director and
rarely,
one...
Rarely does a movie sweep so many
win
categories like that and not pick up best movie. It would be like Titanic getting 13 Oscars and then not getting Best Movie.
Yeah.
It's rarely happens. Often they'll do the split where it'll be sort of a mixed bag of award winners, and then someone will get director, and then someone else will get Best Picture. They'll do that as sort of as a way to even the score. But it's rare when something wins as many awards as Gravity did last night, and then comes up dry when it comes to the big one. Ellen DeGeneres, of course, was the host, did very well for herself, according to most critics. Nothing great, but nothing awful.
I thought
nice
she was
smooth.
I thought
kept
she was
the
good.
Show moving the she best she laugh. Could.
We'll play some highlights coming up after the top of the hour, too.
And by all accounts, she had a good time. The box office for the weekend. Here's what people went to see in a big movie weekend. Nonstop, the new Liam Neeson thriller, did very well with $30 million, made it number one. Right behind Liam Neeson, however, Jesus. Jesus did pretty well for himself, too. Son of God in its debut. $26.5 million. The Lego Movie, $21 million. The Monuments Men was fourth. 3 Days to Kill came in at number five. RoboCop was sixth. Pompeii was seventh. About last night, the Kevin Hart film was number eight. Frozen, we were talking about what a smash hit that is for Disney. The most biggest money-making animated film Disney's ever released.
Wow.
It's made over $1 billion now, Ralph.
Wow.
And Ride Along, number 10 at the box office. $3.1 million. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Biel is 31 years old. David Faustino, Bud Bundy from Married with Children is 40. Julie Bowen is 44. Jason Newsted from Metallica, former bassist for that band, 51 years old. Lovely actress Miranda Richardson turns 56. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You know, it's been so long since the Coachella tickets went on sale and sold out that we forget about what an awesome lineup it is coming up in April. We got Outkast and Broken Bells and AFI and Bastille and Group Love and Muse and Queens of the Stone Age and Lord and Fatboy Slim and Cage the Elephant and Beck and Arcade Fire. The list just goes on and on and on. 3 big days, 2 successive weekends, all sold out. But Golden Voice and K-Rock are giving away tickets every day at 9 a.m. and again at 5 p.m., which means we just gave a pair away. This time to Gabrielle Perales from Linwood. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great time at Coachella. You know, it's March now. Coachella is going to be here before you know.
I know, it's like 4 or 5 weeks away.
I was thinking last night as I was watching hour 10 of the Academy Awards that the lucky people were the people who said, I'm going to hear about it on Kevin and Bean tomorrow and go watch The Walking Dead instead. Yeah. But I was there for all 3.5 hours of the show. Kevin, I think you liked it a little more than I did. Perhaps.
I did like it, but I was only paying half attention to it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're looking for highlights and stuff, it was all right, but I thought it was fine.
Like I said earlier, when we had the Hollywood Reporter in here, it could have been a great 90-minute show.
Yeah, well,
but
that's
3.5 hours is tough. Let's play a couple pieces we haven't heard yet. We made a reference during Ralph Schoba's beat to the Matthew McConaughey speech, where he did kind of go out in pretty deep into the weeds for a while, talking about God and science and being a hero to himself 10 years in the future. But all of us who had all right, all right, all right in the office pool, you know, we're just there nervously clutching our clutching our paperwork, going, are we going to win this thing or not? He finally, a little after 3 minutes into
his speech, because they weren't playing anybody off last night with the band. 3 minutes in, he finally got to it.
So, to any of us, whatever those things are, whatever it is we look up to, whatever it is we look forward to, and whoever it is we're chasing, to that I say amen. To that I say, all right, all right, all right. To that I say, just keep living, huh?
Just keep living. He is the chillest dude, isn't he?
He really is, and they should play him off. I mean,
that was a little bit too much, Matthew McConaughey, a little bit too much rambling.
It was just nonsense. I was halfway through. I was like, what are you talking about? You're your own, you're the person that you look up to the most, but 10 years in the future, but you're never going to be. But what's happening right now?
It is definitely the comeback of the last couple of years, though. I mean, you look at where Matthew McConaughey's career was 3 or 4 years ago, and look where it is now with things like True Detective and Mud and with this movie. I mean, he really and he earned it. I mean, the guy's a terrific actor, as is Jared Leto, who I think, you know, 5 years ago, if somebody would have suggested that Jared Leto would win an Oscar, you know, he hadn't even done a movie in a while at that point, but he came back so big with Dallas Buyers Club, had one of the best speeches of the night.
In 1971, Bossier City, Louisiana, there was a teenage girl who was pregnant with her second child. She was a high school dropout and a single mom, but somehow she managed to make a better life for herself and her children. She encouraged her kids to be creative, to work hard, and to do something special. That girl is my mother, and she's here tonight. And I just want to say, I love you, Mom. Thank you for teaching me to dream.
You know, I was watching Jared bring his mom to the Oscars, and I was thinking, finally, this guy's going to get some chicks. Oh. Now that people are seeing him, you know, bring his mom to an Academy Awards, right?
They'll think, oh, how sweet.
How sweet, exactly. Someone else we haven't heard from yet who was just the belle of the ball last night. This Lupita Nyong'o is having a hell of a weekend. She not only won an Academy Award last night, but she's in the number one film in America this week. She's on the plane in Nonstop, the movie that's out right now. She's one of the actresses in that show, but she also gave a great speech.
It doesn't escape me for one moment that so much joy in my life is thanks to so much pain in someone else's. And so I want to salute the spirit of Patsy for her guidance. And for Solomon, thank you for telling her story and your own.
You know, nobody really broke down into like a messy puddle on stage last night. Everybody pretty much kept it together. And I wonder if that's partly because even though it's the Oscars, it's, you know, for most of these actors and actresses, it's the seventh or eighth award that they've been on stage to accept.
Yeah,
right?
It could be.
Because, you know, marching up to the Oscars, Lupita has won everything up until this point. So Bill Murray did a very classy thing last night. You know, we talked last week after Harold Ramis died. They co-starred together in movies like Stripes and Ghostbusters. We talked about how they had had a feud. Something went wrong on the set of Groundhog Day, and they never worked together again. And we don't really know what happened. And his statement that came out to the press after Harold Ramis died was kind of bloodless. Didn't have much emotion to it.
Much heart, yeah.
Yeah, we thought, wow, maybe they still weren't getting along, or there was unfinished business or something. But it may be a little too late, but he did seem to bury the hatchet last night when he forced in a reference to Harold Ramis. He's on stage, and he's getting ready to hand out another award, and he just says this kind of off the cuff. No one knew it was coming.
Oh, we forgot one. Harold Ramis for Caddyshack, Ghostbusters, and Groundhog Day.
That was a sweet moment.
It was, but in an industry of makeup people and hair people, why would he not avail himself of any of that help?
You're suggesting he looked kind of straggly, Kevin?
He looked terrible. He looked like a homeless guy stumbled onto the stage.
I don't think Bill Murray is playing by your conventional Hollywood rules, man.
I hear you. I hear you, but...
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
All right.
Sure. Jamie Foxx was presenting last night, and he sometimes strikes me as very funny. Sometimes he strikes me as trying too hard. I couldn't figure out if this was great reading or if this was a mistake that just worked out well for him. You tell me what you think.
Great stories can change your life. Great stories with great scores will blow your mind.
Accident.
Or did he do it on purpose?
I don't know. It's impossible.
What do you think?
I'd say accident.
3 hours into the show, Ellen came out and said this. Turned out she was only teasing.
Well, we did it, everybody. That's it. Thank you so much for letting me be your host. Hopefully you had as much fun as I did. And It's not. Okay, there's more. I guess we'll be back.
And they came back and gave out a bunch of other awards. By the way, it was midnight on the East Coast, yeah, where most of the people in this country live. That show was on at midnight.
Yep.
And let's do one more, only because I love it so much. Harrison Ford was trotted out on the show last night. He's 90, right?
Well, he certainly doesn't sound like it.
In Dallas Buyers Club, an electrician blindsided by an AIDS diagnosis transforms himself into an alternative drug smuggler and entrepreneur.
They have rehearsals, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's not being fed his lines in an earpiece, right? He's reading them off of a teleprompter,
correct,
right?
Yes.
Why does it sound like he's never heard any of these words before?
Yeah, I don't know. They are all foreign words, and he sounds like a robot.
It also sounds like English is his second language, and he has no idea what any of these words mean.
In a no-holds-barred fight to survive. Emotionally searing and finally uplifting. It's a poignant, transcendent journey.
That certainly is a poignant, transcendent journey just hearing you talk,
Don't
Harrison
you
Ford.
Think he gets, like, he gets that feedback? Every time he does something in public, he's terrible.
Yes.
So
yes,
why doesn't he say no thanks?
I don't know. Maybe he wants the gift bag. I don't know. Why do we keep inviting him onto our TV?
Wow.
This is actually my first time rocking the stash in full form. Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Usually it's like a little patchy, yeah, the spots totally missing. But yeah, like now I get to kind of rock it. But right. I can't wait till it's like just humongous, just like a paintbrush.
You know? Yeah, totally.
The trick to that is you keep shaving. Just shave, shave, shave. Shave one day, and then the next day you shave again.
Please,
and then maybe
done.
Like you could shave three times the other day.
In one day?
Yep.
I like it.
Please stop. Please don't.
What
talk
do you
anymore.
Think the cage elephant dude's thinking? Come on.
Let me ruin half an hour of your time talking about my mustache.
The way to grow it is to shave it a lot. Okay. All right.
Good. Seriously, what the f***?
Exactly. Great question. Hey, Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, everybody's talking about the Oscars, of course, that were held last night.
Those were last night?
Yeah,
I missed it.
There in Hollywood. The movie's chance to give awards to themselves.
Sure.
Good job, movie makers.
Aren't we great?
Of course, Pharrell was in attendance. Singing his song Happy from Despicable Me 2 was one of the four nominated songs for Oscars. Pharrell also made a lot of news after the Grammys when he wore that hat, his famous hat, that shotgun Tom Kelly hat, Smokey Bear hat, nine sizes too big. It came from Lidsville. So he put it up on eBay, put it up for auction to raise some money for a worthy charity, and it sold over the weekend. $44,000.
Wow.
$44,000 were spent by someone to own the Pharrell hat, and now we know who the lucky owner is. It's Arby's roast beef. Shelled out the $44,000 to, in their words, get our hat back. If you've ever seen the Arby's logo,
oh,
it's
yeah,
a giant oversized fedora cowboy hat with their name on it. So they wanted their hat back, and they, in fact, tweeted as much after the Grammys. Hey, Pharrell, can we get our hat back? They tweeted.
That's
and now
funny.
They've got it. Now they've got it.
Now what are they going to do with it, Ralph?
They are going to poop in it.
What? I mean, are they going to take it on a tour of Arby's restaurants? People can come get their picture taken with the hat or something?
How the F do you think I know what Arby's is going to do with Pharrell's
Ralph,
hat?
What's Arby's thinking?
What do you really thought I had some information to give you about what Arby's plans were for the hat they just bought?
I assumed that you were reading an article about them buying the hat. I thought there might be additional information in that article.
Of course, the burn on Arby's is he wore another giant-sized hat last night at the Oscars.
Yep.
Now what are you going to do,
it's
Arby's?
It's going to be an expensive proposition.
You're going to buy this one back. You either want all the hats or none of the hats, Arby's. Get on it, Arby's. Boy, all that Arby's talk's made me hungry. Mm. I'm going to have to stop by after the show. And pick
How long has it been since any of you ate at Arby's?
Roast beef sandwich.
Too long. I love it.
I mean, is that restaurant on anyone's menu? No pun intended.
It's not close to my home, so.
I ate there about a month ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right.
Given an option, given yeah, a long row of fast food restaurants, and I see me in Arby's, that's where I'm pulling over.
Really?
Oh,
now, so,
hell
so
yeah,
if there's an Arby's across the street from a Wendy's, you still go to Arby's?
Yes.
No, I Wendy it.
I Wendy it too.
Yeah.
What are you going to get at Wendy's? A burger? No. A freaking burger?
I got the Frosty.
But you get Arby's has that roast beef, that tender roast beef.
They don't have a frosty.
Au jus. And you put some of that horsey sauce on there. One of those freshly baked buns.
I'm Wendy in it.
Damn. I'm getting me some Arby's. I'm out of here.
And do it now.
I'm getting me some Arby's.
So congratulations, Arby's. Congratulations to the charity, which just made 44K. And
don't get me started on KFC. If that's in the mix, I'm going there.
I was
back to you.
I was doing the Hollywood Babylon this week, and we were sold out again at the Improv. Thanks to everybody who came out. But I was doing the story on Justin Bieber moving to Atlanta.
Yes.
You know, he's moving there, and there was a big coalition in the hoity-toity neighborhood where he was going to buy an $11 million mansion. They did a big protest in front of that mansion saying they don't want him living there.
Love it.
In the neighborhood of Atlanta, the suburb of Atlanta where he was going to move, is Buckhead. And so for the entire 15 minutes I was doing the story in Hollywood Babylon, and I kept calling it Buckethead. Buckethead, Buckethead. And so it says, it's Buckhead! And I realized I, in my mind, was visioning Buckethead with that KFC bucket on his head the whole time I was talking.
So it was an accident. I didn't know you were
creeped into my head.
Love it.
So whenever I hear KFC, I think Buckethead.
All right. He may work there now for all we know.
That's right. He might.
How would we know? He's got the hat off.
I think KFC should buy Pharrell's hat and then give it to Buckethead so he can stop wearing their buckets on his head and wear Pharrell's hat. It's a lot of headgear talk. For the Oscars last night, here are your big winners. Alfonso Cuarón won for Best Director for his work with Gravity, a truly remarkable motion picture. Gravity did very well for itself, by the way. Took home 7 Academy Awards, including cinematography, original score, visual effects.
It was no surprise that that movie was going to dominate those categories, though.
Yes.
Because it was so visually stunning.
Yes. It was a remarkable film on all levels, but not good enough. After winning 7 Academy Awards to win Best Picture, that went to 12 Years a Slave. Also from 12 Years a Slave, Lupita Nyong'o won for Best Supporting Actress for her work in that film. Jared Leto won for Best Supporting Actor for his work in Dallas Buyers Club, as did his castmate Matthew McConaughey win for Best Actor for that same said film. Cate Blanchett won for Woody Allen's film Blue Jasmine. Her performance in that won her the Best Actress.
I've got an acting Academy question for you, Ralph.
Yes. Because you're a showbiz guy.
Yes.
Is there a point at which you lose so many Oscars, you're nominated so many times and don't win, that you get the loser on you, and then you'll never get over the hump? And I'm thinking of Leonardo DiCaprio, who's been nominated many times, lost again last night. I saw Glenn Close came out on stage last night. I think she's been nominated for 6 or 7, has never won one. Mm-hmm. Can you be put in that loser's bracket if you get nominated too many times and don't win?
I can't imagine.
DiCaprio
seems fine. I mean,
yeah, I'm not quite sure what you're asking. Are you saying that the Academy members won't vote for you because
you're just seen as a perennial loser? Because, you know, like when Susan Lucci was all those years in a row, decade after decade, it seemed like she was nominated for that Emmy and never won it. You know what I mean? It just makes you wonder if at some point it starts to hurt you, starts to work against you because you've been there so many times.
No, I think it's a different world from daytime soap operas to major motion pictures. I think the fact that your performance was one of the best 5 of any given year.
Yeah, that's still saying something.
It's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. When you're in that company, and then one time having been nominated will jettison someone's career into another level. But if you're a multiple nominee, I don't think it hurts you.
Because Leo is certainly he's as good an actor as any Oscar winning actor. He just hasn't had the break, right role, right year, right?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're up against, I mean, there's all phenomenal performances, and some are naturally going to get more attention due to the nature of the character or the film that it's in. I mean, nobody was going to beat Matthew McConaughey because not only was that an amazing performance, but that movie was so powerful and that role was so unique that's going to win.
You know? Right.
DiCaprio was great, but look, even in DiCaprio's career, that role probably wasn't the best role of his career.
You don't think so? I thought he was
great in it.
Yeah.
He was great in it. But put that up against What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Look at that performance versus Wolf of Wall Street. Both great performances, but that kind of role is so much more demanding, I think, of an actor than some others. So
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He will be fine. Speaking of not being able to pronounce people's names, John Travolta channeled our friend Kevin last night at the Oscars.
Can't he just be John Travolta making a mistake?
No, he was Kevining.
All right.
He was Kevining last night.
He was Kevin-esque.
When he was asked to introduce Idina Menzel, a super talented Broadway and movie star, TV star. She was going to sing the song that she performs in the movie Frozen, Let It Go, live on stage at the Oscars.
Just let it go.
And, Travolta was asked to bring her on stage. He was obviously a big fan. He said how much he loved movie musicals and Broadway musicals. He seemed to know Idina Menzel's work. He worked in a little pun there about how wickedly talented she is, because she, of course, was the star of the Broadway show Wicked. And instead of Idina Menzel, we got this.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Every time I hear it, I can't believe how wrong it is.
Adele Dazeem.
Now, I didn't know who that was.
You didn't know Idina Menzel?
No, when I was watching, I had no idea who it was. It just sounded like he mumbled something. I was like, he's mumbling.
Adele Dazeem.
I didn't realize that he was wrong in every way. In
every possible way. It's like someone just took that name, put it in a blender, and he just drank it up. Whatever.
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem, indeed. Well, Adele Dazeem now has her own Twitter account, and she tweeted last night, thank you, Jorn Tremolto. Jorn Tremolto! Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
So strong.
John thought he was at the Bollywood Awards there for a minute instead of the Hollywood Awards. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jessica Biel's 32. David Faustino. He was Bud Bundy and Married with Children, 40 years old today. Julie Bowen, who I guess we first fell in love with her on Ed. Remember that show, Ed?
Yep. Sure.
Tom Cavanaugh, he owned the bowling alley, and she was the girl, Carol Vesey, that got away. Remember?
Yep.
Now she's on Modern Family, of course, 44 years old. Jason Newsted, former Metallica bassist, 51 years old today. Miranda Richardson celebrates her 56th birthday. And Tone Loke celebrates his 48th birthday today.
Took her to the hotel. She said, you're the king. I said, be my queen, if you know what I mean. And let's do the wild thing. Wild thing.
I'd rather you didn't make that noise.
Oh, I love that song.
I know I've told you this before, Ralph, but K-Rock was the first radio station in the world to play Wild Thing by Tone Loke.
All right. Tone Loke with a new song, Wild Thing. Yeah, it's a great song. He's Tone Loke.
Sure.
With so much Oscar news today, we didn't even get to scratch the surface about George Lopez going to sleep on the floor of a casino over the weekend.
All right.
Oh, that was great. How many shots did he do?
How do we not even get to that?
He said 51 or something like that. That's ridiculous. Anybody that's done shots knows you can't do that many.
He'd be dead. He wouldn't be passed out. He just laid down on the carpet in the casino and went to sleep.
In the casino where he was performing.
Just performed, got out of the show, laid down, took a nap, and then had to perform again that same night, by the way.
That second show was good.
Oh, I would have loved to be in the audience for that.
But I'm not really I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
I've been plenty of drunk plenty of times.
Right.
I've never laid down on the floor of a public venue ever and gone to sleep.
That is odd.
It's shameful. He should be banned. He should be out of the drinkers club. You should not be able to drink anymore.
They should refuse him service every time he...
But I was thinking there may be a call-in topic sometime this week of strangest place you've nodded off after partying. I thought our listeners, above all, would have ended up in some strange place.
Great idea, for sure.
Like Beer Mug in a bush. Remember when Beer Mug went to sleep in a bush?
Yeah, it was the day after
St. Patty's Day,
yeah.
He woke up in a bush.
At like 8 o'clock or
so. He decided, oh, look at that bush. That looks like a comfy place to lay down and sleep in the briar there, in those branches and prickly thorns and leaves. Yeah, that seems like a good place to lay down for me. Dumbass. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Danny Trejo in studio.
Machete.
How about that?
Machete.
He's the best.
Machete.
Love that guy.
Machete.
He is machete, yes.
Machete.
And we have Chris Harrison.
What the what?
Chris.
My boy Chris Harrison and I are going to talk Juan Pablo?
Chris Harrison.
Oh, the women tell all tonight. Oh, I can't wait for them to tell all.
He's the host in the battle.
Oh, and they're going to tell all.
Yeah.
Tonight.
And also tomorrow morning we have more tickets for you. 3-day passes to go to Coachella. We'll see you tomorrow.